Board time for August 14th, 2 p.m.
All right. Mr. Horn, you have been asked to join us. Commissioner Madore, do you want to lead it off?
Chris, lead
us off.
Thank you.
Why are you here?
That's a good question. Actually, I have to ask for somebody to give me a tip. Because
this regards the
board. You asked for Chris to
come up? Yeah. Wait a minute.
We had a long night last night, man.
You guys haven't
talked. Give him a minute. He'll figure it out. He'll get there.
We talked about two things. We talked about the
RSN. But then you wanted to talk about the CTRAM board and the interpretation of the bylaws relative to the new makeup possibility.
So we want to cover both of those in this
meeting? No, the Cowles tribe, I don't
think.
All
right, then CTRAM. Okay. So regarding...
Billy, still on top of your game. I love it.
So last night we all understood what Tom Wolfendale related regarding if the county gives up one seat and the city does not. Tom Wolfendale shared that, well, the block veto goes away for the city of Vancouver if we drop off one seat. And I asked Chris to take a look at the bylaws this morning and tell us what he thought. So that's what this is about. You can inform us.
And Tom specifically also said that if we go to 2-2, that the block veto is just... is functionally dissolved.
Exactly.
And so he basically said any change to the numerics of it going from 3-3, any change to the numerics of the composition functionally dissolves the block veto, is what seemed to be his opinion that he shared with us.
Which he clearly said, that's what happens. And certainly, if either Vancouver or the county drops from 3-2, that veto goes away. The question that Chris can help bring light to is if the county goes from 3-2, does the city lose its block veto?
Gotcha.
Reading the bylaws that I did this morning, it only speaks to, it's written in the affirmative. If either the county votes three negative votes or the city offers three negative votes, then if either one does that, then a veto occurs. It doesn't say that both are required. So it's written in the disjunctive. It says either or it says or. And so if the city doesn't offer three negative votes on a particular matter, they can't veto it. They have 2-1, for example. Or in this case, if the county gives up 2-1 vote, the bottom line is, I disagree with his conclusion.
So you haven't actually... So have you read his memo?
No, I have
not.
Okay,
so my suggestion would be that you actually... Because, again, so Commissioner Madore raised the same thing last night and used the first part of the section up to the semicolon, but didn't actually use the rest of the section, what works together, because that section is the veto section contained within the bylaws. So that veto section includes both the how you use it and how you get rid of it.
I agree.
There is also legislative history, clear legislative history, to show how that was formed and why it was formed, to be able to actually inform the legal interpretation of it. And the bylaws, if you change any numeric value, then you must change the bylaw that says 3-3. Because if you change it to 2-2, that bylaw no longer exists because the numeric value changed, and so there is no possibility that it could ever be three from either side that do it, right?
Well,
so wait. So that is the first part of it that he actually was saying, well, any change to the numeric actually by default changes the section. Then you have to look at the legislative intent of the section behind that. He also pointed to the fact that the statutory authority to change the numerics rests within this body, this committee review thing, I don't even remember the name of it, and that trumps any bylaw associated with it. So, and he has a whole memo on it. I guess my suggestion would be, instead of just taking a piece of our bylaw and saying, what do you think of that, take a look at the entire section, look at the analysis, do the actual review of that. And I think that, that's something we could authorize you to. I mean, we as a board have to actually ask you these questions. We're not supposed to individually be having you do any analysis. That was our rule. And I'm 100% cool with getting clarification and having him do that analysis of it. But this is, but doing an off-the-cuff analysis that was authorized by a single commissioner is not what we either, it doesn't meet our code and our rules, and it also doesn't meet your test of, like, doing a full analysis.
Okay.
What's that?
It's a little bit tight, because I, as I pursued something, I would like to be able to get legal opinion.
Yeah.
On what I'm doing, or maybe I don't want you to know what I'm doing yet until I get legal opinion. So I'd like to think that maybe we as individuals could ask for legal opinion.
Well, we had this long discussion, remember, because I wanted a legal opinion on whether on the website thing. And what we came to when we looked, when Commissioner Mador brought our rules and had a long conversation about it, was that our own rules, our board rules, indicate that the chair can ask for a legal opinion, but must do it in writing. And the majority of the board can ask the PA's office to give a legal opinion, but must do it in writing. That is our own; those are our own board rules. And we had a long discussion about making sure that we maintained that, and that I specifically said, "Look, as the chair, I'm not going to abuse that. You know, I'm going to come to the board and say, you know, hey, this is what I'm thinking, and before I would ever do anything."
Let me decide. We'll talk about it. I was thinking along this scenario. Later on, we'll discuss it later.
That's a separate topic. We want to make sure we allow Chris to respond to something that is relevant to all three of us as we sit on the
And I agree, is that, but for him to respond, he needs to be given direction to do, you know, to look in, to do a get a legal opinion on this by actually doing a full analysis of it. And that hasn't been done, and it should be done. I'm with you. I think, I agree that we should get our legal guidance from our attorney on that. But, you know, when did you talk to Chris about this?
This morning.
So between this morning and now, Chris has been, you know, asked by you individually to, hey, take a look at this. It's not enough time to do it right. And if we're going to get a legal opinion, I don't want a halfway legal opinion. No offense.
No problem.
You know, I would like, you know, to get a good, clear opinion before the next meeting so that we can be clear, like, hey, this is what it would do. And, yeah, it would get rid of ours, but not get rid of theirs, according to our legal opinion. That would be good knowledge. But let's do it right.
Okay. Okay, can I respond to that?
Sure.
Okay, good. I think it's very, very important that our prosecuting office has the freedom to speak up when they want, that none of us should speak in their place. When we ask them a question, we should let them answer it.
So we are not authorized individually. You specifically brought it up. You can't just set the rules for when it suits your purposes. We set the rules for everybody in all circumstances. The rule that was set based on the request from the former prosecuting attorney, deputy prosecuting attorney, chief civil attorney, was that we have a structure so that they don't get a bunch of one-off, hey, what do you think? Give me a legal opinion kinds of questions. Mr. Potter at the time said, hey, our office, we need to have a more formal inquiry than that, because we don't want to get in the middle of you going and asking for an opinion, then me going and ask for an opinion, then you go and ask for an opinion. So we discussed it, and I would hope you remember that we discussed that having a formal process saying, look, let's just write it down, right? You know, and the majority of us at a board time could say, yeah, let's get the answer to that. Let's give them the freedom, but, you know, have some sort of structure to the question, because they didn't just answer a question that they had on their mind. They answered a question that you asked them.
And I think that's very important, that each of us always has an open channel to our prosecuting attorney's office. And my statement pertains to this situation right here, right now. We've asked Chris to step into the meeting to give us his insight, and we need to give him the freedom to be able to speak to us according to what he thinks is appropriate.
Did you have anything else, Chris, as of this minute? You already spoke to us. I heard you. Did you have anything additional that you've been able to research as of this minute?
Well, I haven't. Let me start out and say, I can't answer your question as quickly, as easily as you want to say. You've said numerous things to me, and you've raised...
Not my questions. No. Not my questions. Have you, in the interim between this morning and an individual conversation with the commissioner, and right now, have you been able to fully research the question.
I haven't done any. I haven't even read the bylaws that he gave me this morning because I had other meetings that I had to go to with Camp on Camp Bonneville. So I have not done anything else on this since I met with Commissioner Madure this morning.
So what would be helpful for you to be able to answer the question that had been raised that I, you know, that now that we are talking appropriately in the board time about that, that I think we would like to get some guidance on?
Well, certainly. We would always look at somebody else's argument because you always take advantage of alternative viewpoints, whether you agree with them or not. So certainly it's true that if Mr. Wolfendale has provided something in writing, it'd be important to take a look at that. Second of all, I've read a portion of the bylaws dealing with vetoes, but I have not read the entire bylaws. And I'm pretty familiar with the tenets of statutory construction, so how to analyze those and how a court would analyze those. But I would also, in the interim, take a look at any supporting authority that's cited in the bylaws that we need to consider. So the answer is there are a number of things that I can, and if the board wants a written opinion, and it, given the significance of this issue, I'm glad to do it. So there's that side of it. The other side of it is it may not even be necessary. And let me just take a second and say, if the city agrees, whether or not two eliminates the ability for everybody or only one person, if the city agrees it does, and they want to say that the effect of the county giving up a position causes all parties to lose veto authority, if the Board of County Commissioners is willing to agree to that, we can make that happen regardless of what the legal interpretation would be. It's a simple modification to the bylaws. So
totally agree.
There's a number of ways that we can answer or come to an answer to this question, some of which are practical, one of which is just purely legal.
Great.
And I think that's where we're at. I don't think the city wants to give up their veto power. General concept of listening to Bart Hansen.
Well, best way.
So it's good that we give you some good directions and have you come back with some research.
And that's fine with me.
So we as a board are giving direction for the prosecuting attorney's office to answer that question, to answer the question and get us full information about that. How long do you think our next meeting is September 10th, sooner the better, obviously, but our next meeting is September 10th is when that body is meeting. But city councils are talking about these issues right now, so sooner the better to be able to get the info.
I can give you something in writing by next week at this time.
Okay.
Great.
That's great, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Perfect. Thank you.
Do you want that at board time?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
See? The rules are working for us. I like it. All right, and did you need Chris Horn for anything else? Or
I think on the RSN we can wait till the. What do you think?
Well, a simple matter of the question is, commissioners, the commissioner from Sabina County, actually Commissioner Madure, is following up from our perspective, is that the Cowlitz tribe would like to have membership on the RSN board of directors. The prosecuting attorneys in the three member counties have met on this, have given. The answer is yes, you may be a member, but there are conditions, and these are the conditions, and that letter has been sent to the tribe, and they have yet to respond. Commissioner Madure, I think, was carrying the message to the Skamania County Commissioners, where are we on this? So I believe the agreement today was that, Chris, what were you going to do?
There was an email actually sent. I don't think there was
not
a formal letter that came from Skamania County, but the prior board, the board last year, said that they would consider allowing the tribe or make provision for the tribe to be a member of the RSN board if they agreed to be responsible for their vote. All the other party members who voted, if they made a mistake, were responsible and would share liability and the consequences of those votes. The Cowlitz tribe did not want to do that. So at that prior time, the board said, you can't have a vote and affect the potential outcome and not be responsible for your actions. And so that was the message we gave. They wanted to go back to their tribe and decide whether it was worth waiving sovereign immunity to be able to have a vote. And we have not heard from them. So Commissioner Madure asked me to draft a letter and say that the the prior policy that's been expressed to the tribe continues to be the policy, which is they're welcome to participate, they're welcome to become a member, but there are conditions. The conditions include that they, if they want to take part or if they want to participate in the voting activities, that like every other commissioner, that they share in some of the responsibility for the effects of their votes.
Cool.
So, my question is, to make it enforceable, does it have to have an MOU?
What would there be is an actual amendment to the agreement. The tribe, through their board, would sign that agreement, and that agreement, the original interlocal agreement between the three counties, would now include the Cowlitz tribe, and it would include provisions waiving their... It's a very limited waiver of sovereign immunity, but they would actually waive it for the purposes of being liable for their votes.
All right.
Reasonable. Yeah, it's totally reasonable.
I love it.
They're loath to give up their sovereign immunity for anything.
But they want to be involved in everything.
Fair enough. Fair
enough. They want to vote on everything, but want no responsibility or liability.
Fair enough. That's great. It'll be interesting to see how they respond.
So, cool. Assuming the board's okay, that's my
yes.
And that's what I propose to do.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
All right. Old business.
Thank you, Chris.
Interim county administrator proposal. We already have discussed that. That'll be discussed next week.
And you took no action.
Yeah, no action.
Taking no action today.
Parks interlocal agreement.
Pete asked, because of his schedule, he has the state auditor exit briefing at 2:30. So if we could talk to him after 3 o'clock, would be.
Okay, you're assuming we're still going to be here. All right.
Do we need him here to discuss it?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I think so.
Dues and county support report, Mr. Barron.
I have given you that report. Commissioner Medora has asked for more information at 11 a.m. I wasn't able to provide it by 1:30. My apologies. Some of these are answered in your report. But basically, Mr. Medora asked for minimum amounts of various ones, and then how were the amounts determined. So I provided that in the report, but I'll be happy to provide more specific.
So can we bring that back next week with
absolutely.
About?
Give it an opportunity to address
the payments are being done.
As long as you're not making
payments. We're not making payments.
We get the information on any of those.
Well, the payments are being made, except for the only hold I had was on Commissioner Medora was on.
I don't have my list here.
Was on
for me.
So long ago. items 12 and 13. The only items now to be held for review prior to payment were number 6 and 12 and 13 below. But CBTV, I think you released those because those are the franchise agreements and the $50,000 mm-hmm. grant. And number 6 was the...
Student Metropolitan Studies?
Yeah.
Okay. And I can get the information on how they
otherwise
calculate
you didn't
it, but
have
I
a hold on it.
I did negotiate with them to because I had talked with Commissioner Milkey about a reduced rate to be able to pay less. But we do also have the benefit associated with it that I've been able to get from them.
So we had talked about all the chamber ones. The Woodland Chamber is the Woodland. Tourism is what that is. It shows commerce, but that's what we gave for tourism.
Yeah, but that's why it's the Chamber of Commerce, so that
yeah.
does it.
But that's why we gave it to them.
Yeah, it wasn't that.
Woman came. Yeah.
Yeah.
Word.
So 1 through 5. I don't think we should be paying for her.
For any of the chamber ones.
Yeah.
Well, we've already paid two of them for 2013.
When did we pay those? We've been talking about this for.
Well, Commissioner, I specifically asked the board if you wanted to stop payment, and the only commissioner that responded was Commissioner Medora, and that was for number 6, 12, and 13. And when I brought that back, the board said no, only hold 6, pay 12 and 13.
Enjoy.
Oh, which was CVTV and FVTV.
That was one that we were all in agreement with.
Well,
number
page.
7, we were all in agreement with.
That's okay.
Yeah, and I got a reduced rate
cool.
on that.
Okay.
That are we good with
said,
that, by the way, since I got a reduced?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Thank you.
So which ones have been paid?
All the column there on the right-hand column. Far right-hand column.
Over here.
That That's the paid column.
You did pay Woodland
for this year.
Vancouver, Camas, and Battleground.
Those are the ones they paid?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, under the policy that we're working, I guess we don't pay the ones that haven't been paid.
Okay, so hold all the rest?
So I guess the question would be, do you want to, because have, like for that, is it something that you want to, again, kind of being good stewards and just giving the notice for these, if their expectation as they build their budgets is all this, even a small amount, would you rather do just say let's hold it, or my suggestion would be that we give them notice that, hey, given the times that we're in, and send them a notice, a heads up, that we're no longer going to be able to do this. And I'd be, I think, more supportive of that, because you know how, I mean, when you're in an small organization and you're working on a tight budget, and all of a sudden you get somebody that says, oh yeah, by the way, you thought you were getting money from me, but you're not.
Okay.
It just makes it tough. That would be my request.
And just that our process moves so slow.
I know.
And I guess because we paid all the big ones, so we might as well pay the other.
No, we haven't. We pay some of these on partial, so that the Washington State Association of Counties in Waco, those haven't been totally paid. They've only been partially paid.
Those we authorized to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
In the discussion, we were saying
he's talking about the chamber ones.
Okay, just the chamber you're talking about. Yeah. Just the got it. So that'll be a letter to. There's only two that haven't been paid. Clark County Chamber of Commerce and La Center North County. So those are the only two.
I guess all of them probably should get a letter that after this year.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
That way they're not surprised. They've either already been paid or they've been notified that they'll be paid this year but not next year.
Commissioner Medora, what do you think? You're leaning in. What are you thinking?
That decision been made that we're not...
Hold on.
Yeah, the center and the Clark County Chamber of Commerce, both of those are small amounts. When you look at what's been paid to the others, it would probably be better for us to consider policy for next year rather than to terminate this early this year, I would think, for those two. So you're talking about a total of $360 and $1,500.
But about sending the letter, Commissioner Mielke is thinking kind of on the chamber's side of it that it's duplicative as far. I mean, what are you thinking? What, you know? So you're wanting to send a letter out to the chambers and say, look,
then policy change has that.
So are you okay with that letter going out?
For next year?
Yeah, for next year, for those chambers saying like, hey, we really like working with you, and we it's important to have that partnership, but we have to be managing our, the public funds, and blah blah blah.
Certainly, a letter is appropriate. It really has to do with what content, and so I think you put it well, Bill, in that the reason that we're supporting these at all is because we want to make sure that they know. The relationships are important. We want to send a letter or the message of encouragement to them. And so what I had written down here is, what is the minimum amount to be a member of these? We certainly ought to ask them that question. And when we get the responses back, then we can evaluate how appropriate is that for us.
Are you okay with that?
If you did that, you'd be making a policy splitting hairs. And one would probably say, well, we don't have a minimum, and the next one said, well, yeah, we have a minimum of $50.
Well, when they respond, then we can talk about each response, but it's not saying that this is what we're going to do.
So,
this is an invitation for them to present information for us to consider.
It goes back to the reason for the policy, and the reason for the policy is that the general public taxpayer benefits nothing from it. Well, we want to be a part of it and be a guest from time to time to inform them of what the county's doing. I don't think it meets the criteria of spending taxpayer dollars for dues to participate in something that taxpayers get nothing money from.
In other words, you would prefer that we not be members.
It's a business organization, yes.
Just notify them that we're going to discontinue.
Mm-hmm.
For 2014.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
Well, I like to support my fellow commissioners as much as possible. This is an opportunity to do so.
He agrees with you.
I don't know if he did or not. That was it. He's like, he's kind of, it's your fault, is basically. And he's like,
I cut
I'm
it
agreeing
down.
With Tom. I don't know.
I didn't hear that. I just said, I'm that commissioner. Yours is my fault.
I just saw you with the shield out in front, brother. Yeah, which is fine because I'm behind Matt, so yeah. It's all good. Shrapnel doesn't fall that far.
You're surprised.
So. Fair enough.
So that's okay. 1 through 6 commissioners then, that notification?
Yes.
Okay. And then we can come back. And I like the idea, though, for everybody that we are still going to begin, you know, is there a minimum, like putting out something to all of the rest that we're giving a contribution to, saying, is there a minimum contribution? Is there, you know, what is this contribution doing for the citizens? Directly asking them that, you know.
Yeah, like you did the university.
Yeah, like I did the, because that was the question I had to directly ask them. I'm like, okay, what is the benefit of the citizens of Clark County? And then, is there a minimum? Is there less that we can provide to actually still be involved within that activity and make sure that the, you know, all of the, you know, the data that's being gathered is still coming from Clark County and not just the other side? And they said, yeah, well, okay, yes, we can.
It's pretty a balancing point. You know, we support business and small business, but I guess, you know, you can't do one without the other.
So is that a letter that you think, you know, because I like the idea of your letter that you were thinking of for the kind of the chambers of, you know, is there a minimum for that? Is that something that you would suggest, like, for other organizations that we support, or is that something that you feel is necessary?
Well, so far we're only discussing the chambers, right?
We are, yeah. but there's a whole rest of the list that we've kind of either...
Well, that's
let go
of you solve the problem one step at a time. So
yeah.
To address the chambers, what are you going to do there? Know that we have a decision
right.
or agreement, and then we can continue on. We haven't really, you haven't said how you prefer, or are you in agreement as to which way you want to go there, the two of you?
On what?
On
the
chambers.
Rest of it?
On
the chambers. Well, Tom brought it up, and you agreed with him, so I'm assuming that,
yes,
he did.
Yes, too.
But mostly it's going to have to happen, because if you look at this, they've all been paid.
It's all next year's thing.
Even when you go down into the second category.
That's why I thought the chamber stuff we'd already solved, because he brought it up, you agreed with it, we're good. That part of it is now resolved for next year.
Well, as Mr. Chairman, it sounds like you've been very decisive about that.
Yeah, when I hear two get to a point of concurrence, man, we move.
Get it done and scratch it off the list.
That's the idea.
Wow.
And then, so that's why I was moving on to the next piece of this, because the rest of the list.
Okay.
Exactly, that's why. And so for the rest of this list, though, I like the concept of, for next year, because a lot of these have already been paid, is saying, is really getting that good sense of, you know, what is it that, you know, taxpayer money is doing for the citizens of Clark County, and is there a minimum associated with that that we, you know, we understand budgets are tied for everybody, but, you know, we're really trying to be good stewards of the public funds and, you know, and writing a letter to them to ask for that input and advice.
You're looking at me.
Well, I mean, because you brought up the letter idea, and I like that. I like the letter idea.
Well, the question is, Tom liked that idea.
Tom,
so
do you like that letter
back
idea?
And said, $50 a bit, you know. It depends. What do you...
For the rest of the list, like, so putting that in, you know, asking that question to him, like, you know...
You say something?
It'd be something good to get a feedback, but I'd be feared that if someone says, oh, our minimum is $1,000, and the guy says our minimum is $50, but then right back where we started. As to, are we spending the taxpayers' money in the best way possible? Are we getting the biggest bang for the buck? With
as far
dollar?
As that question of asking, do you have a minimum?
And so maybe in that letter, say we're struggling with the justification of using taxpayers' dollars for memberships in organizations that are not directly beneficial to the general public.
Bill?
In talking about the rates, certainly that applies to 1 through 11, and 1 through 6 doesn't matter anymore because you're not going to do it. So Portland State's already reduced. Mm-hmm. Steve has asked that question, and they've given the minimum. So my point is, on the rest of those below, they're either set by statute, WAC, or we've negotiated that. So instead of saying what's the minimum, one of the things I think may I suggest that I, if you want me to write the letter, is, for example, on the Ripley's Horse Foundation, we've already told them we're not giving them money for 14.
Oh,
you've already directed that in the budget. If you notice, column 0 for 2014.
Then we talked about that. Aren't they the ones that take in our abused animals?
They did when animals were being abused, yes.
Yeah, and that's when we said we are getting a benefit from that.
But I'm talking about how we phrase it. There's no minimum, Commissioner.
That's what you decided to give them.
Through both of what you're saying. It makes perfect sense not to ask necessarily what's the minimum, but the board asks what you were saying.
The board is reevaluating all of its budget. We would like to know from you, is there a need for a 2014 grant from the county? If so, what is the minimum amount that you would think
appropriate? And I don't even know that you have to say the minimum. It's more about, you know, is there a need, and what is the, and, you know, we're struggling, as we're struggling with this, you know, we're looking at, you know, what is the benefit to Clark County citizens and taxpayer funds for this, and just really putting a finer point on it, because it helps us make the case.
And one of
to
the
say Ripley's does a great job because for the citizens, and they're doing a service that we can't do. And
some of these, as you remember, some of these are yours, like the historical grants, 9 and 10. Those are yours. You're the chair of the committee.
Yeah, but it's not our money. Those are ones that, again, statutorily has to be used for historic preservation grants.
That's my point. But the minimums are not minimums. They are grants provided by a committee.
We're not talking about statutorily required or ones that have dedicated funding sources that go to dedicated. It's more, it's the memberships and the contributions to organizations and to institutions. That's what we're talking about, man.
Okay, well, I'm pretty dumb, so give me more guidance.
You're not dumb at all.
The other one keeps coming back is our subscriptions. We haven't dealt with all the way.
That's not on here.
I know. I just added.
I took it off.
Just added it.
I knew that was a personal event. I knew that was a personal matter for your commission.
Well, no, I was. I've been a business person. I was disappointed the way they do business. I mean, you would think with the thousands and thousands of dollars that we pay for public notices and advertisements and other notices, that they have to give us the tear sheet anyway.
Yep.
So they have a choice of hiring someone to tear the sheet out, send it to us, and by department, or to issue the whole newspaper, which they wouldn't need another individual to do that, on a complimentary basis.
So you want to, should we write them in?
I think, we already did.
Did we?
And we had PAO, I understand, contact me.
Mary did?
I don't know.
Did Mary contact
me? I don't know anything.
I understood that she did. And
you don't know the answer until you ask the question.
You told me that, no, they don't give complimentary copies.
Oh, Mary did, okay.
So, I guess, give us our tear sheets, that's all we need. And a couple of things, 29 subscriptions, and the general public might ask, why am I buying 29 newspapers, and other people reading the newspapers while they're working. So my recommendation would be to ask for the tear sheets as we use paper advertisements. I mean, you know, I might save a few newspaper once in a while, but that's okay. It wouldn't break my heart. If you'd like to have one, you can order one for your room. They will all come to your room and sneak a peek.
Not if I'm paying for it.
You'll charge it.
I'll charge. By the minute. Yeah.
So, what's your thoughts?
What are you thinking on this, Commissioner Mador?
Well, there may be some departments that might depend on more than just simply the advertising. They might be looking for something like prosecuting attorney's office or something, Justice Center or something. So rather than just say that's the policy, probably I'd at least ask the question for those that actually have a need that they feel is important for them to be able to perform their function.
So, and we did ask that, but it's been a while since we got it, and so maybe if you could get that again to us, because I don't remember.
It sounds like it's right there.
But it's there was kind of the answers that we got by department as to
why
they
did. So we did get answers. What did they say?
Oh, I read that.
There's a variety of things.
Best case scenario, they were poor excuses.
There was another one.
Well,
wasn't
either that commissioner or no. I didn't do a good job
specifically on the climate.
Out the explanation, but if I can expand on some of that,
please,
just a little bit. For instance, you're right, Commissioner Mador, about the CJC. What they do and what the medical examiner's office does and what the prosecuting attorney's office does is go through the newspaper and keep their files on, particularly open cases and suspects, up to date with any new information. For instance, the medical examiner's office goes through everything that has to do with any criminal case, any autopsy, it looks at obituaries, because if 5 years down the line they get a call from Joe Blow who says, I was, you know, my grandfather was one of your autopsy cases and I'm here for his property or I need inheritance from it, they have a record of legal standing that will help in cases such as that, but also cases that the medical examiner will have to testify in court long after the files and body is out of his office.
So is that part of public notice?
No.
So the coroner doesn't do a public notice?
No.
There wouldn't necessarily be a tear sheet for a lot of those.
That's what I was putting it. So how does he get that again?
Well, they get the paper, when they have time, they look through the entire
obituary.
And crime stories and trial stories.
For suspects and otherwise.
For those particular offices in particular.
I was curious when I heard that from the PA's office. And I was wondering what information they would be getting from the newspapers that they didn't already know since they were trying the case.
Well, if they would know, but what they also like to see is how they are portrayed and what the newspaper or a witness or if a reporter got something wrong, I'm sure Eric won't, but you know, to be able to understand the perception, and this is true with, I think, pretty much every department I talked to or heard from, is they want to know how the county is perceived by the public, how we are, what we're being criticized for, what we're being lauded for, the relationship about any topic.
So after they read it, they don't give a favorable article, what do they do?
Well, I think it's a matter of...
Because I've had this problem for 16 years, and I've never seen them retract anything yet or correct anything.
But have you ever changed tack because of what you read?
No.
Really?
No.
I have.
That's when I quit reading it. It never bothered me.
Well, it's not about bothering you, though. You may read something, and you're like, oh, you know, I really hadn't thought of that perspective. And so you take it into account when you're actually making the next decision.
Well, it's actually only the reporter's opinion.
No, there's a difference between a news story and an
editorial.
An
obituary.
And an obituary.
An obituary.
Paid obituaries.
Which can be opinion
also.
Do you have that list? That list of you got from the department?
I don't know if I can find it now.
I have it on my desk.
And the reason I suggest that, I would like to have you spot read some of those things. As to why they think they need the newspaper.
I think that
we're paying for a newspaper for general entertainment. I could see.
Well, I think if
I don't know how entertained
everybody
I ever
heard, it, right. Nobody I heard use the word entertainment. That they
to be informed about local government and community events, track news and feature stories about providers. That's community services.
Mm-hmm.
They should already know that because they're the ones that make the announcements.
But not everybody in every department knows everything that the other person in the department knows.
To keep staff informed about county and state issues, guess what department? Elections. Fairgrounds to do considerable advertising with the Columbia, so need to check placement. Published it. You get that in a tear sheet. Or you can request it when you place the ad. Finance. Does a good deal of advertising with the Columbia, so it needs to check the placement and publishing dates and accuracies. That's the tear sheet. Fire marshal, you didn't reply.
He burned it.
HR.
Fire starter.
Help staff stay informed about county and local issues that affect department functions. I can't figure for the life of me what that might be.
So,
what that newspaper is going to influence our HR department?
I think it's primarily general awareness of how the county is perceived, what other departments, county departments are doing that other departments don't know about, It's general awareness of our community by everybody who gets
newspaper. We have a FYI newspaper.
But that's
that maybe should include information as to what goes on.
Internally it does, but it doesn't say community news or what's going on. It can't get into detail about, you know, suspects or you know, child custody cases that somebody may end up seeing, you know, because there was an assault or whatever.
All this is also on the internet, isn't it?
Not everything that's in the printed edition is on the internet. It's on the online edition.
Which is the printed edition?
The one that you fold up and...
It's not on the internet?
Not everything that's in the printed edition is online.
Maybe the appropriate question is, are there any exceptions, like Children's Justice Center or some other department, that they would feel like, hey, I really need that. It's a need category versus a want. So the question is, are there any exceptions?
Well, they're taking it out of their own budget, so they must think it's a need.
So-and-so wanted a subscription, but so-and-so doesn't, so we don't stop it.
Well, good. It's, there you go. There's one.
You know, and another one down here says, no, we don't need it.
They're willing to take it, so my take would be is if they're willing to take it out of their own budgets, which every one of these departments does, except for us, and we take it out of our budget.
General taxpayers' money.
But we give them a budget, and we say, you know, this is, you need to do this work with it. If they say this is a priority, wouldn't you want to give the department heads and the other elected officials the freedom to be to do what they think is necessary to serve the public? Because that's what I tend to not want to micromanage what other subscriptions do they have? I mean, do we want to get into all of that? What organizations do they belong to? Do we micromanage the dues that they pay for those?
Probably should. I've seen some pretty big dues with organizations.
But it's part of their, we manage the budget macro, you know, micro. If you don't want it out front here, if you, for us, you know, in our budget, that makes sense to me. I mean, if that's what you decide, you know, we can pay for it ourselves if we want to get a hard copy. I get that. If you're saying, hey, I don't see the value for us, but I would tend to not want to micromanage our department level or other elected officials, because we're talking about a lot of people that work for other elected officials, in a subscription that they see as necessary.
I guess what I have, if they need it in their work, I think we ought to be at their budget and they pay for it.
It is. That's what I'm saying.
If they don't, I hate to think these gray areas and the three examples that come up say, yeah, we've been receiving this for the last 12 years, but no, we really don't need it.
Right.
We've been doing that for many, many years, and we never gone back to address it. I think that they need to evaluate it on a department basis and justify why they need it. And I think you have a real good arguments for the coroner and whatnot. I can see what needs to be a record kept there.
Well, the other
I wasn't aware that the death certificates were not of record.
In obituaries?
Yeah. Or in the courthouse, deaths or something. Because I know we just went back, my sister went back, and I forgot where she went and got it. I thought it was the courthouse that she went and got a death certificate.
Health department.
So the health department has records.
Birth and death.
Would that be a duplication then?
No, I think it's in the case of a murder victim, that's who you would go to say, let's say it's in evidence. You know, my grandfather's gold watch was on his body when he was found. Maybe it's in the evidence building over there. And somebody has to somehow find it. Well, Board of Health and the Health Department is going to be able to help if grandfather's gold watch.
But the newspaper knows about it.
So, Tom, Commissioner Mulkey, I would plead with you to not line item micromanage at the department level what they need. And, I mean, putting Holly in the position of trying to justify every department's need for a Columbian subscription,
I don't mean to do that, Holly.
I'm
actually trying to understand the benefit of that newspaper.
I'm
having trouble seeing it.
And we deal with large dollar figures. We've spent large dollar figures this year.
We do.
And we kind of we deal with that larger level, and to get into that level of weeds on a single item comes off as cherry picking, you know, based on your, you know, and that's what we, and I know you don't mean it that way. I know you don't mean it that way, but I don't want our departments to feel like, what are they going to do next? You know,
cherry picking, open GPS units in these cars so we see where they are,
And ultimately cherry picking. Ultimately, going into their into the line items of the budget, we will do through our budget process. We do go through that, but once we give them their budget for the other for the departments and the department heads who manage them and the other electeds, I am concerned that we set a precedent of we're going to dip down and share it, and we're going to choose individual line items and then make you justify them versus justifying your budget. And how are you providing the service? I 100%. If you want to get rid of the one out here, I'll vote with like heck yeah, I'll, you know, and we'll pay for it. But
I usually get here pretty early in the morning, and when I do on the second floor, because I come across, I've got the stairs from the parking come in, and there's usually a pretty good sized stack of newspapers sitting outside the door.
And then, inside the door, there's
a bench inside the door. There's a stack there too. Then there's, I don't think there's any names or anything on them. I think they're just kind of.
No, they have
maybe.
They have names.
I just never took the time to sit down and read them, I guess.
Because he didn't try to steal one, see? So that's how we know.
So whatever you want to do, Tom.
I agree with both of you. I don't mean to cherry pick, but I'm troubled to think that a department head would take it for convenience.
Fair enough.
And we see it. We see several cases there's convenience. And how many there is, I don't know. But I think that they're going to have to evaluate that themselves. But those that don't, I think that we'd be very much aware that do you need the newspaper? And if so, that'll be part of your budget.
I would suggest, Commissioner, if I may then, that coming up we have a reauthorization process for the budget, that I can tell the budget office that that will be one of the things that the commissioners will ask for input from the departments regarding their Columbian subscriptions.
Well, how about just simply make it a broad category of subscriptions and memberships?
I think that's right. That makes perfect sense to me. Because that's what we're doing. That's the process that we're doing, and we're itemizing through it. So it puts them on us. Do the same thing. You know, go through and look and see what you need and what you don't.
I don't think we pay for the reflector. I believe that's a complimentary copy.
In a way, I think
it's complimentary for everybody.
We're
not special.
It's free.
we're
free.
Hold on, Bill. Go ahead.
That's my point.
Okay. I think
you can't get it in vain.
Hold on, Holly. Sorry, Commissioner Medor.
Just this list, along with subscriptions and dues and those kind of things. All we're I understand the intent there, and I think we're all on board there.
Agreed.
And that is that we want to make sure that every dollar that's spent is meaningful.
Yes.
And that the taxpayers are getting a return on their investment. And
it's a great way of saying that.
However big or small, it all counts. Every dollar makes a difference. Yep. We want to be a good steward of it all.
Absolutely.
And sometimes if you're going to do that, you accidentally send the message that you're micromanaging. Well, you're really sending the message that every dollar counts.
Well, and
be
I
mindful.
And the way that you suggested it, to me, in my mind, is not micromanaged. It's tasking them as managers to do that work, to look, to do exactly what you're
evaluate
saying.
Evaluate what they're doing.
Yeah, and it tasks them with that, which I like. I think that's
we're
a great
we're point. Evaluating what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely, because we'll be watching. All right.
So then
That gets us there.
All
thank
right,
you.
May
all
I
right.
then roll that into the letter of anticipation for 2014 for the memberships, that it will be at the budget office discretion to bring that back during the readopt?
When department heads will make that decision.
Well, that's what the budget office does.
Right, but we will be asking the departments to
do that work. So I only write one letter then. That's to the chambers for 2014. No other letter.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, I think that we had talked about for all of the other organizations and institutions that we give to you know, seek their feedback as we are, you know, seeking to get the best, and I love the wording used, so I don't even want to try to say it, but the wording that Commissioner Medor used that we're looking for in this, that we actually reach out to those who we're doing that work with and say, hey, we're really evaluating this, and we really want to get a sense of how we're doing, you know, getting the most bang for the public's dollars. But using his language, because it was much better.
I do have one.
There was one more I had lined up there, too.
Yeah, I've got one, too, number seven.
Number seven?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you're ready, you can
Oh, that's
first.
One that
I got it reduced.
We'd worked on before. Well, that building valuation, and he went back and asked them to justify the benefits to Clark County. And I don't remember what all those benefits were. And they had done so. And so I said, because he sat on the board, I said, why don't you go back and put the heavy on them? And they came back and then they agreed on a reduced amount.
What amount did we end up with?
Half that. So they reduced it in half.
So, which is good news, movement in the right direction. So basically, they are providing information to the county?
They are providing information to and about the county. They actually have a lot of work that they do in the region on poverty, on growth patterns, on different strategies for economic development. And that information is provided to us, but it's also provided including Clark County. They don't just, it is a regional organization. It says Portland State, but the Institute of Metropolitan Studies has members on their board from both sides of the river. So that the information that they get is regional and not just Oregon, which is important to be able to actually see, all right, how do we function within this region? And the information that they are providing is helping to frame, all right, how do we need to deal with these issues? They also have done, and this has been less frequent, but they've also gathered together, they've brought together the governors of Oregon and Washington to actually convene forums on what are the issues of most import in Southwest Washington and in the Portland area. So they have done a lot of that work that does include value for our citizens. But nevertheless, even that being said, I still said, hey, you know, we're trying to get the most that we can from limited dollars, and, you know, we need to be able to, we're looking at reducing, you know, is there anything that we can do to reduce? And they were willing to do so.
We recently got a grant that for the region, I mean, I'm trying to think of what it was. Was it in the police department? Was it the sheriff's department?
Yeah.
That we got?
Yeah.
UASI.
What was it called?
UASI.
Yeah, it was regional.
Homeland Security.
Yeah, a Homeland Security, I believe, is part of that.
Right, sure. It's like a $2,000 investment for all that we get from it. This is some of the stuff that I gathered on it. But.
So here's the question. You break that down into multiple categories. One is information to the county. Mm-hmm. Just to focus on that for a minute. I've never seen any information from there. Have you seen any? Are we using that information? Who's getting the information, and what are we doing with it? What's the return on investment for the taxpayers?
When I brought it up some time ago, Steve was on it, so I mentioned it to him, and he just kind of looked at it and said, you go back and you make that decision because you're the one there, and put the question to them, you know, how are they benefiting us, and that's what he did.
Yeah.
And he came back and told me what it was. I didn't ask or see anything.
So
and this is the information that we got back. So are we good?
Well, yeah. Well, the question is, if they are providing information to the county, who are they providing it to, and how are we using it?
Community planning uses it.
Yeah.
Community development uses it.
Kelly
uses
defines it.
This defines, what do you mean this? What's this?
You just handed me this back.
Oh, this defines some of the information and the other benefits that are provided for this side. This is some of the information that I received when I asked the question of what is, you know, give me more on what directly benefits and how we're benefiting from that. And so this was some of what they gave us.
So you have already gone over this. I'll be happy to if you want to hand that to me, I'll do my homework on it.
They're happy to. Yeah, but I think we're good as far as, you know, continue on that because I did the work that I was asked to do, correct?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Good.
So I paid it?
Yes.
So I had another question.
Yes, sir.
Leadership Clark County.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what the benefit is to the general public.
The benefit is each year the Leadership Clark County class of 30 are citizens from all over the county, including usually two or our employees. Mr.
I gave the speeches
these two.
But is that the same as the other group? What's the other group?
Identity Clark County?
No, the high school kids down here.
Youth Commission? No. Youth Commission?
Yeah.
No.
It's not the same as the youth.
He's not that young.
These are adults. These are young adults. Young adults from all over the county who are basically go through an entire year's worth of orientation to their community. One of the reasons for it is to orient them to the community, all the various aspects of the community. We're the governmental niche of this.
I coordinate with the city of Vancouver and all the smaller cities, the port, the sewer district, and so on, to bring elected officials and appointed officials for one day here. We provide them lunch. That's the major expense, is lunch. For these 30 people and their instructor to basically get, what does local government look like in Clark County? And it's the only exposure they get in that curriculum.
It's a separate entity in itself. It's not Clark
It's a 501c3. It's a 501c3 not-for-profit, the purpose of which is to enhance and enlighten young citizens.
I've talked to a couple guys that have gone through it, and I didn't know exactly what it was.
Yeah, I went through it, too. I went through it before I was 2002.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't do any good.
Yeah, exactly. Now, and it introduces you to aspects of the community you would never see otherwise. Yeah. I mean, it broadened my perspective of who this community is and who they, and where they are and what they value in ways I never would have otherwise.
Can I maybe add something to that, which is they do a very large amount for the community because they break up into teams which have projects that are doing direct services for usually groups in the community that serve others. So they have a huge revenue.
It's the biggest part of what they do is you have to choose a project, and each team chooses a project, and ours, we set up a hotline for community service opportunities during the holidays because everybody oversubscribes and wants to, serve food on Thanksgiving, but then you can't get people to volunteer often. So setting up an automated system for that. Each team has a different thing they do for the community.
So why are they limit at 30?
They usually are about 33 to 36. It depends on how many people apply, but if they get an over application, we'll limit it to about 36 or so.
Okay. How do you get involved? How do you need to sign up?
You apply. Yeah, you get nominated, and then you have to put in a full application, and then there's a board of directors that determines who's, and they always want to make sure that they have a good kind of cross-section of the community on the class so that you really are learning from each other on these project teams and as a whole class. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, it really is a cool program.
Okay.
Anyway, and so for the rest of the ones like this, putting something out to ask them a little bit more about, for next year, ask them as we're, looking into this, are we cool with sending them a letter just to say, hey, we'd really like to know more about, the services, the value you provide for our citizens as we're looking to make sure we're maximizing that value.
I don't think we have any question about all of these.
All right.
So I think we only have one letter.
That's fine.
And that's the chamber.
Okay. Thank you. With you. All right. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Commissioner reports. Commissioner Mielke, do you have any?
We're down there already.
Yes, we are.
But I can go back to Pete anytime you want.
Oh. Okay.
You probably should get to that because.
Why don't you call him and get him coming, and then we'll work as he makes his way up because we don't want to sit around and wait.
Yes, sir.
He might be up here. Let me go check.
Go ahead, Tom.
That's basically all I had was the Pete stuff.
Come up.
Okay.
Thanks.
Cool. If you didn't have anything other than Pete stuff,
I've got one for Commissioner Mielke if you let me.
Okay.
Yeah. The panhandling ordinance.
Oh yeah.
I got an email here. I worked with it's Chief Evans, and then Sergeant Walker is the one that's over there doing the research for them.
Good.
So I kind of got into this point I told you last week where I've done a decent amount of research pulling up other counties. They're kind of called aggressive panhandling ordinances.
Yeah.
But I'm to this point where obviously we need input from the sheriff, and they're doing some research too, so I didn't want to duplicate. So I did talk with Chief Evans. He's gonna make sure that Sergeant Walker gets in touch with me and we coordinate what we come up with because they need to filter it up through their kind of chain of command and bounce it off. The people are going to have to enforce this before they make recommendations. And so it was kind of, I just didn't want to duplicate. So I'm not saying I was waiting on them, but we kind of are. We're kind of making sure that we're doing two things, and then we come up with a recommendation to you that they don't agree with because they're doing their own process. So I have coordinated with them, and hopefully in the next few weeks we'll be able to get somewhere on it.
One of those, City of Vancouver?
Yeah, they adopted one.
We thought at one time they did something like a year ago.
I think they did.
And then it seemed like for a few months you didn't see anybody, and then they slowly filtered back.
Well, actually, I know they did because they ran into issues with the build-a-booth thing with it. But
the one was?
the fill the boot because the firefighters stand on the street corner.
Yeah. I remember that.
It was being in the road. It doesn't the ordinance.
So you'll be coming back to us on that?
Yep. Yeah.
Cool. Good. All right.
Okay.
Pete, welcome. Parks Interlocal.
Parks Interlocal. Since last week,
okay.
I met with Commissioner Milkey to talk about the proposals and if it's okay, I might summarize that, Commissioner.
I'll go ahead and cover what I think I said.
And I'll tell you whether you're right or not.
I always have that problem with the Columbian, too. So.
How do you know? You don't read it, you said.
I told you I peaked.
Yeah, exactly.
I was trying to bring a clear separation as to our role in our parks, and that was in the would-be construction when we got ready to do that, which we're not really doing a whole lot right now. I still like to see down the road a design bid build, and that has a lot to be discussed about at the time. Basically what it was pulling out of the parks, asking the parks group to do it for us. We're not doing it right now. We're going to do it down the road. We're going to put something together. So the more we got down to it, the more that I liked and recognized that that was a big task, was that we might need some help in the organization of reservations and ballpark scheduling and things of that nature. And I didn't know if we were able to put something together like that or if we would have to rely on them to do it. And I don't know the seasonal structure, when it happens and when it doesn't. I don't know if we have time to do it ourselves, to put something like that together ourselves, or for this next year, whether we'd have to rely on the organization to do that scheduling for us.
Gotcha.
And in the discussion of that, we were talking about how that would break down, and it would break down how many FTEs would we have to pay for. And without going back to the detail that we got, it would look like something in the vicinity of $300,000 of contract labor if we went that full direction in the needs from the Parks Association. Is that right? Does that kind of cover it?
And if I can, I think where I understood it was going back to the an earlier version where we actually, rather than totally terminating the contract or accepting the proposal at $642,000, that Clark County, much like the hybrid we had proposed previously, would hire two individuals to do a lot of the day-to-day work with respect to overseeing the park ambassadors, working with the problems that come up invariably at parks and citizen complaints and those sorts of things, and then also managing the properties, overseeing the repair and replacement elements of those parks, and then contracting back with the City of Vancouver for the scheduling so that it's in one location, and also the sports scheduling so that it's still pretty much for the leagues a one point of contact, and then any other landscape architecture support that we need or those sorts of things that would be just on an as needed basis. And certainly this next year we'll need some support in wrapping up the Parks Comprehensive Plan update that's required to continue to get the state grant money and those sorts of things. So the original proposal had about $300,000 annually services from the City of Vancouver. My sense was that with two full-time people doing the lion's share of what we need, that actually is probably high, but in the day since Commissioner Milkey and I had a chance to talk about it, we have not refined anything, but it would be a kind of a well, it's a hybrid. It's not the totally going it alone. It's not also totally severing the agreement, but it's just using them selectively where we need specialized assistance or resources that we don't have.
So what's the, have you done a cost comparison? I mean, as far as if overall, you know, how much would that proposal cost versus the other alternative you've given us?
We kind of picked this off the table here. I kind of recognized the four steels. And then went back through here and I said, well, we could do this, we don't need that, we need part of this, not that.
Sure.
And Pete had it broken down a little bit different than the way I was seeing it. For example, and he had it under section Parks Resources Management. There was a couple items there only. And even with all of that, it was like 1.5 FTEs. And then when you went to look at the other arrangement for the sports field, it was like 0.6 FTEs. So that's why I felt the need, at least for now, because my understanding is that the Parks Association needs some direction as to what they can plan for their budget. And Pete wasn't sure whether this would be too little for them to accept, but it might be something that we could talk about, see where we want to be,
right,
to see if we go back, say, you know, don't count on us, but we put something together, or we think we're going to need this kind of a service, and that's why.
So with the contract, the amount, was it 300? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's roughly what I did. I took rough numbers from here and included the number here, and I said, DP, that seems like a whole lot, and that's when he said, let's wages and benefits. It's not just wages.
Sure.
So when you look at it in that respect, it's not that much. And we were kind of thinking, I was thinking, as what I was picturing was something that we would do the maintenance. And so whoever was in charge of the ambassadors that were out at the parks doing what we wanted them to do, that manager was seeing that was done. If there was a hiccup or something that needed to fix along the way, they would notify us and we would go do that. That's kind of what I was thinking. That helps.
I'm just trying to kind of put numbers on it. I mean, so if it's 300, and then what's the additional cost for us internally? Because that, you know, from what we're doing now.
And that's what we didn't, I don't think we came up
with
all of that.
Well, when the earlier version, I had estimated that at 643, but then as we've, and my sense is based on our discussion and what that scope would be, it would be less than that.
Good.
But I would think
total
would be less than that of
including the contract and internal
and new services internal.
Okay.
would probably be less. It'd be less than 600.
Pretty tight.
Yeah.
Cool.
You met with Pete, and you know, I think the main goal. I liked where you're headed last week, as far as having a balance of, I mean, kind of the boots on the ground and the direct that kind of work being done here, and having some coordination and that, you know, work done there. And
I don't know. I don't know when we have to start coordinating the footballs and the footballs and all those things. I don't know when that occurs.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we would be able to hit the ground running if we took on the whole thing or not.
I agree.
But
if we put that proposal out there, then we can get a sense back of, okay, well, yeah, this would, you know, either that lower amount would work or it wouldn't, and then we can make a decision as to how we need to proceed.
Or if we could take on the whole thing.
Right.
I'd like to bring it back more in-house, but it's kind of the reality of me. I wasn't sure whether or not we had the ability to pick up everything right away. And so that was just my thoughts on how I thought about separating it. And maybe next year we would be able to take on the whole thing if we saw savings or if it worked out, however it worked. But that's just my own one thought.
I'm good.
Of course, you guys.
No, I'm good at least at throwing it out, because obviously whatever we put out as an idea for this, you know, Pete's going to have to take to the city, you know, representatives as well and say, hey, this is what we're thinking. And there will be something that will come back to us as to, yeah, this is what they think this would look like in a more formalized way. so we can, yeah. You know, but I think as a proposal, it makes sense.
And this brings back all the planning back to us. Most of the management would be more in our park. As far as the outside planning, the inside administration would be part of the ambassadors.
Right. But then if we needed specialized services, like if we did need to go design bid build, that if there was a specialized service, then it would be in there on an as needed, which is nice.
So the communication that you're suggesting is basically ideas to them without any expectations, because what we don't want to do is have them count on us and get to some point and say, we thought you did this, so we hired this team, and now you're not going to, so we don't want that to happen. What we want to be able to do is to explore possibilities with them without them counting on it, because aren't they in the position right now of deciding whether or not they're going to hire a parks director?
Mm-hmm.
It's like $100,000 in salary.
Yeah, the direction that I got from them was that because the current interim parks director is gone October 31st,
mm-hmm.
and they have been awaiting posting that position until they know what it looks like, mm-hmm. because is the county in or the county out? And if we did not give them direction right away,
mm-hmm.
then they were intending to just accept our letter requesting termination, and then we definitely would be on our own. When I talked to them previously about this option, when it was one of the options on the table, they felt like they could accommodate that. So it's, we'll take over a lot more of the day-to-day stuff, but just rely on them for, some of the things that we wouldn't necessarily be able to staff.
And just to kind of amend the thought on this, I think what I heard from Commissioner Mielke and that I am supportive of is floating the proposal that doesn't have the detail yet, that would have to come back to us, for that we're not signing off or approving of anything, but that we are floating a proposal to them as to, hey, this is the concept, this is the structure of what we think might work, but we're going to need to see details before we can sign off on anything. So not giving them the expectation that, yeah, we're good to go on it, but certainly, a little more than simply saying, hey, here's an idea, but we're not committing to any idea. I mean, they got to, just to negotiate, you have to have something to negotiate. So having a little bit of structure to it, somewhere in between.
Yeah, I don't think our little part would make a difference between them deciding whether or not they need a director or not. They're going to need a director with or without us, I think. And I think what we're proposing is relatively small.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an add-on to whatever they do. Not that much of a workload because they're already set up to do all of theirs.
Yeah, I think their anxiousness is that, is it the director of City of Vancouver Parks or is it the Consolidated Parks? In my mind, it would be the director of City Parks, but the county will be buying some services from you during the course of the year.
I think will is too strong because the status where we're at is we did send them a notice that basically says you got your 6 months notice, the interlocal agreement is going to be terminated. If we come up with some other arrangement, then it's a possibility. It's not a will or shall. So the reason I say that is because what we don't want them to do is spend more money than necessary and then be disappointed.
Right.
Because I think that we're all in agreement, we don't need a high-priced parks director for the county parks.
No, but right? We do need to have a job description for that person so they get the best person possible. As someone who actually lives in the city of Vancouver, is served by Vancouver Parks and Recreation, and who represents this district and the entire county, I want to make sure that we get the best person possible. If this position is in flux because we're sending mixed messages to them or saying, well, we may not, we're not sure, or playing coy, if you were applying for a job and you were reading in the paper
that, and I don't know what paper, because they may not get it, but if they read the paper and they say, this is in flux,
they're not gonna know anything about
you may not get the best people applying for it, and you may not have a clear strike. I agree with you. I don't think it'll change the job responsibilities much at all. But just the nature of this, having some sort of forward progression of we are working on, if there is something that we can do, if there is something that there's some arrangement that we can reach, we are actively working toward that. And getting to it and getting an agreement relatively soon will help get the best person applying.
Well, I think.
What would be the verbiage?
I think you put it there. You put it well, and that is that anything that the county does is small in comparison to what they are planning on doing. And the when you say we are parks director, it's what we need to do is give them the freedom to be able to define their job description.
You have the hybrid description.
And that way we're not then we let them we step out of the wheel, we let them drive and let them tailor things the way they want. And if they want to offer some flexibility to us in that process of giving them that freedom, then that we set them up for success. We don't somehow trip them up with false expectations.
The way that he said it, though, is that we are making an offer. I mean, not a specific, here is the offer, but that there is a structure, an idea that we would be proposing. We're not giving them the freedom to come up with it on their own.
Proposing.
Yeah, it's a proposal.
A proposal of what we think we could put together.
Right.
That way we're not committed and we're still working on
exactly.
it. And we give them some surety. As a little more surety than could or may
or too, shall
may too weak
and
shall
too strong.
Right. So the proposal, I think,
that sounds good.
Idea is the safest thing because
we're looking. Yeah,
what we with idea. Proposal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think idea is
it's
safer.
Not an idea though. It's a proposal.
A proposal is more like an offer, which no, they can bank on, and that's what we want to make sure that
that is
that
your
we don't
close. I don't know. It's a proposal. You said when he said proposal, you're like, yeah, that we were there, and now you wanted to back it down to we're arguing over the definition of is. There is structure
that's
to what you proposed. There is structure to what you proposed. It is an idea. It isn't formalized or finalized. It will have to come back to us, but it is progress.
What I'm trying to get to is to give Vancouver the freedom to define how they want their parks to work. And if they, in that process, then can offer certain services to us because of what we've given them freedom to be able to do, then they can propose to us, and we can then itemize that out.
No. We have a proposal, an idea. We're taking it to them. That's where we're at. That's what Commissioner Mielke is before and agreed with, and that you seem to, even if it was called an idea, we're not laying back and waiting for them to propose to us. It's us who are seeking services from them. Thus, we propose, these are the services we would like to potentially see from you. Is that something that would work for you? And it is a dialogue. It's a two-way conversation. It is not us laying back and waiting for them to do something for us. It is not them laying back and waiting for us to do something for them. It is a two-way conversation. Are you good with a two-way conversation?
Can we use the word
two-way conversations are always good.
Perfect. So we agree. Yeah.
On two-way conversations.
Uh-huh. Well, then that's what this is.
So we're thinking of a need, or thinking of a proposal, or it's something that would not give them false hope.
Here's the context. This is the context we were working in.
Right.
Their offer is $800,000. Pete negotiated that down to $643,000.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Mielke saying, can we do something for less than $643,000 that has a mix of our FTEs and their service?
Right.
That's what we're proposing. It's an option three.
Right.
And my thought would be in the direction that we need it as well is that I would recommend that we hire internally two staff to do a lot of the day-to-day work. We would then, one area which I think there was direction from Commissioner Stewart and Commissioner Mielke was that the scheduling and reservations, they have a system. Not that it can't be improved, because it can, but they have a system, and especially with the sports fields where it's a single point of contact, having that in place, and then other support services that we might need, because we would not be hiring a landscape architect. So if we
specialized support services.
Specialized support services that that we would direct them to do when that need arises. And so that way, they're not relying on us, except for on the scheduling side of things, for that much, but that they are making available to us some of those specialized resources that we would not have with the two people that we would be hiring.
The people we would hire, would that be for Bill's crew, or be somebody in the office and Bill's crew?
It would not be Bill's crew, per se. It would be, frankly, it would be someone that would do much of the work that Brian Potter currently does. I mean, I would love to even see Brian Potter take the position overseeing the park attendance, the day-to-day operations, solving problems, not maintenance, and then some of the property management and customer service things that need.
I kind of think that he would more or less be saying, hey, you have some maintenance work to do here, some cleanup work to do here, and that would be Bill's crew, and that would be either handed down through a work order directly to Bill or coming to the office. Yeah. But I'm not sure where two people in the office, what they would be doing.
Well, there's an awful lot of work related to the special request that somebody needs because they're having a large event at Louisville. They're having a wedding. They're having a large corporate picnic or something. So there's just the legwork to make those things work, which is over and above what just taking reservations or sports fields.
Operations versus maintenance.
Yeah, it's the operation side of the parks. And then
the city's
you know what we've been dealing with in the in trying to keep the park attendance going, in getting lifeguards, all of those operational functions that maintenance doesn't do. Mm-hmm. So it's one
so
and a half
we'll
to two people.
We'll be kicking on that too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So
are we okay?
So at this point, we just want to make sure that they're not counting on us.
If they say yes to that proposal, that would be brought back to you for your vote.
So that'd be something that they would come back and have to seriously consider.
Yep. Right.
If we're prepared to take it on, or if we're going to need them until which time we think we can, or maybe work out smooth enough that we don't. But
And that gives them what they need too, because obviously from the director position, they're not counting on their director overseeing our system.
I think it gives us
some
feeling as we move forward taking charge as to what we're not going to be surprised, but other chores that are being done that we're not aware of.
Right.
And we might find that we may later on be able to take on everything, or we might find out later on that we can't do as much as we do, but to give us more control. There's one part that I had concern with, and it was in the description of some of the verbiage, I think it was in here, that they set the rates and the fees.
In our parks, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it said in here that it was under their management administration. So I just mentioned that I had concern about that. So.
Can you double check on that, please, Peter?
Yeah, and that's something that we'll work toward. Making sure we all understand.
Sure that was not the case.
Yeah, I think we changed the code to make sure, because a while ago that had been delegated authority to the parks director, and we changed our code to take that back within the board.
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
That
we did that when
David?
We eliminated the fees.
Well, I'm good as long as everybody has freedom.
Okay, and I think freedom. This is going to give us that. It's going to give some motion as to where we're moving to for now.
Mm-hmm.
Probably within 6 months to a year, we're going to be a lot smarter.
All right. Great.
So,
thank you, Pete.
Right. You're welcome.
Great.
I will.
We'll look forward to hearing back from you.
I will move forward with that.
Thank you for your work.
Oh, absolutely.
We appreciate that.
Thank you.
I know that I'm not so difficult, but Steve can be.
I tend to be. There's no doubt about it. He keeps trying to get in line.
Thank you.
All right. So we're on commissioner reports. Did you have anything else, Commissioner Melky?
No, sir.
Commissioner Medore?
Yeah, we've received a number of emails regarding the wineries. Carol Lebanon has indicated that she has been consulting an attorney, and they say that the one attorney said that's exactly what, I'm trying to remember, some Yakima or somebody did, and they brought that suit and they won the suit against the county, and we're doing the same thing. She said, are you sure you want to do that? So she called me this morning and I talked with her and I said, well, Carol, if you have insight, probably the smartest thing you can do is take the ordinance as you see it, redline it the way you think it would solve that problem and send it back to us so we can at least look what you're talking about in the way of a solution. And so hopefully she'll do that. She knows that this is on the agenda for Tuesday. And basically what I'm trying to do to get her to focus on solutions rather than problems or to bring up history.
It's a good way of doing it. And I think you can count on that you'll hear back from her. She's very rigorous about her her research.
Yeah, and she really does represent a number of people in the rural area.
Oh, she's been doing this work long before we were. She's solid.
I got a message that she wants to meet with me and talk to me. I'm going to try to do that. Some probably between now and through Saturday or something.
And the issue, and Carol and I talked about this.
Oh, you had a chance
to meet with her? I talked to her a couple of times about this, and I love talking about this kind of stuff. And she, and two things. First of all, her brother-in-law lives next to Rusty Great, so she has a personal involvement in this, which is why we're hearing from her so much on it. Secondly, she has fought for a long time for freedom, for agricultural businesses, for forestry, for rural freedom of property rights. And so I go back and forth with her a little bit about, all right, you've been fighting for rural property rights and the ability to build rural businesses for a long time, and now you're saying, well, maybe not that business. And she recognizes, I think, that, you know, that I think she's making the case this is different. That the wineries are different because I think she sees them differently. She sees them as like a free-for-all bar and grill and not wineries. So, but I like that you just kind of pushed it and said, hey, what solutions might you have for that? Let's see what comes.
Tuesday will come very soon. If we don't hear from her.
It does go by fast.
Oh my gosh.
If we don't hear from her between now and then, or if she doesn't end up giving us something tangible we can change or consider, then the natural thing that will unfold is that we confirm the ordinance.
I think that we have to be really close because everybody's bad at us.
Yeah.
Actually, they all applaud it.
They're on both sides, yeah. I've gotten feedback from neighbors and from the winery saying, hey, we think you found a middle ground that we can work with. I got a little pushback of people mad that they said the standard's too low because when you do DBCs, that's 5 decibels lower than DBA. And so they were a little upset, but they're like, yeah, but we'll work with it. And other side, same thing. But
So the question is, when Tuesday comes, mm-hmm. and maybe she doesn't get exactly what would be most helpful to us to solve the problem where everybody wins, we end up with just simple verbal things that if you guys do this, we're going to sue you, and it's just kind of general, like you're going the wrong direction. The question is, what's appropriate action? Should we just simply delay this and say, we'll give you a little time window here, or just say, unless you can help us with something tangible, we have to move ahead.
Yeah, and that's the problem that we're having because we've been floating in the air for so long.
It provides certainty, and we can always say, and Tom said this on this ordinance and on others, every one of the ordinances, there is no finished ordinance. There is no ordinance that is free from ever being amended. You know, certainly we need to see how are they working on the ground and how might we adapt them to work better. And that was the purposes of the amendments that we made that came a long way toward making things better and providing certainty. But you got to provide that certainty. You got to put the line down to say, okay, this is what it is.
And
people will threaten us. I mean, with the suit, that happens.
Well, I want to make sure that as we pay attention and listen to citizens, that we are decisive. We give the opportunity for them to actually specifically help us to understand what are you asking, and if we're going in the wrong direction, you really need to point it out. So I made that very, very clear to her multiple times this morning. So she's got it.
Good.
That this is your opportunity between now and then to speak up.
Sounds good.
Because if you don't, the show must go on.
We are unique. We have something very, very unique in as far as we're not like the other vineyard areas where they're sitting on 40-plus acres. We've allowed small businesses to adapt to specialty farming, and that's what this is. And so as you tighten that area down, you got it's going to rub somebody wrong, and I think we might be in that middle road to allow that to happen.
And same thing happened with the farm markets and other things. When you have smaller acreage, you need more direct to market goods because you can't get into the supply chain because you're not going to go to Safeway or Fred Meyer because you don't have enough crops, or you're not going to be the huge winery. You're going to have smaller acreage, which means you have to have more direct access to the markets.
Axel, do you have anything to offer in this?
Yeah, I think tomorrow Gordy and Chris and I were going to sit down and talk about the email that she sent, but the email didn't do a great job of kind of articulating what you are, which is an actual legal argument. So I was going to maybe research if that Yakima case is out there. Maybe
she has like three or four emails. It's in one of them. I remember her mentioning
it. Is. Okay.
Yeah.
We need to make it really clear that we are looking for solutions, specific, redlined specifics that we can deal with rather than a general criticism, because we can't do anything with a general criticism.
Will you guys, if you have time before tomorrow, forward me whatever you have recent from her, because I have
sure. Oh, we got lots of time, man.
Okay.
We only got pro con statements due tomorrow. That's fine, dude. We got nothing going on.
And we could solidify this and come back and change it next month.
Speaking of things going on, what else you got, Commissioner?
Okay. We had talked, I think it was at the last board meeting. The community development website was mixing up commercial and residential, and in some places it was still saying that the fees are in place and other places.
Gotcha.
And the question is, have we made any progress in straightening that out?
I talked to Mary about it. I don't know.
I was going to say I'm not the right person to ask.
I talked to Mary. I gave the instruction to Mary, and she was on this.
I can check with Sarah.
Would you?
All right. Okay. So we'll get feedback.
Can you give us the feedback on the next week and make sure that they're... If they have the bandwidth, they can make some progress sorting that out.
Cool.
Okay. So next week. Okay.
What else you got?
We also talked about the updating of the county website where we have the grid that talks about the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I looked, we're still, each time we have a commissioner's meeting, we put lots of documents out there and we put them out there in the back of the room. And then the meeting, we have the meeting, and then all that goes away. And the only thing that ends up in the grid is eventually when we finally approve the minutes, or if there's an adopted resolution or ordinance, everything else goes away.
It's like staff reports, and things like that aren't making it.
Well, anything that we have that we provide to the public for our meetings should never go away. It should move into the grid with proper labels so that it just becomes available after the meeting.
Agreed. Can we make sure that that's...
I know something along those lines is in progress.
Good.
Sarah's
again, can we get feedback on that next week on, like, so that we can make sure that happens? Because I think we're all in agreement.
Each week...
That's what we're looking for.
Right. And any time we can catch something like that, the sooner we catch it, the better. Otherwise, we have to go back and reconstruct all that in its make work. That's a lot harder than if you just move everything, because you got it right in front of you.
Agreed.
At that
time. All right.
Okay. So that'll be next week?
Well, hopefully before next week, but we'll get a report back.
I mean, a status report next week.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another one is relating to the community development. We had originally the fee waiver where if you qualified with 10 employees or whatever, that you could have a fee waiver.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't this new fee waiver that we ended up with replace...
Yes.
That one?
Yeah, because that one had expired.
But there's still another one out there.
I'm still
seeing...
The
one we passed replaced that one, yes.
Well, I'm
the
still seeing new... applications that say that they're under that old one, even though the date is in July.
Depends on they vested. I mean, and so... Your vesting timeline doesn't... Depends on which application you're looking at, because first of all, there are multiple applications. Second of all, you vest to when you deliver you contingently vest before that, but you're fully vested when you file a fully complete application, the first one for a project. And so the question would be, Yeah. I mean, you're vested even before that. So you're vested to the rules that apply then, whether it be stormwater or fees or anything else associated with that. So my question would be, for the ones that you see that have a July, it may be a new application that you see, but is it part of a larger application? It's just one of a series of applications that are necessary for a project, and that project was vested under the old guideline.
Which would mean that we should have the proper date, the vesting date, on these reports that come from the community development, not some other date, because it's always going to, we're going to be, it's not relevant.
Be the date, right?
Or maybe if there's more than one date, then right. We should identify this is the vesting date, and this is this date that's kind of a result of that.
The developers generally know that, and so do the people who are working on it on a day-to-day basis. They know that, but for the purposes of, each application has its own timeline, so you need to have the date when it was, submitted. But having a back date of, okay, when were you vested, that seems like you should be able to do that and have that on there as well.
As long as
it's not confusing people.
Which would help us to monitor this program. We want to make sure we have our finger on the pulse, look at the benefit, the fruitfulness, how is it working? And those specifics, along with, have we received any reports lately from community development that showed how many jobs were created, what the annual sales that was projected. I haven't seen...
I think it's been a couple of weeks since we got our last fee holiday report.
Yeah, are we supposed to have a weekly report?
They're having a real tough time separating that, because some people were going to be there.
Did we just
weekly, but it still didn't have the criteria that were helpful on there. They've been talking about that for 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, actually, that was a request from the very beginning. Metrics was a huge part of this. And still, this is one of those situations where until they fix their application, which still says, how many jobs? 0 to 5? And people are putting 0 to 5. And it tells us nothing.
Oh yeah. That's
and so we
about.
Need to make it a priority, Bill, to get that done. Update that.
About that incident on the application that they had to put down more specific.
Yeah, they just write down the number.
Yeah, we talked about that.
When it comes to the sales amounts and the valuation, those key metrics need to be on there, because every application that comes in and they don't get it, now they have to go back and recontact that customer and ask them those specifics. And so day by day, they're building an extra workload because they didn't do a simple little fix.
Some of it. I mean, remember, some of the information lags, right? I mean, some of it, that sales tax information, some of the information isn't available up front. So it lacks. But as far as some of the things you had already mentioned, we should be able to get. We should be able to get metrics. It may just not be all of them.
Well, the last time I looked at the county website, you can click the form that you fill out, and it's still the old form, which means we have to go back and now get the real information, because we didn't take 10 minutes to fix the form.
I think that's what we covered that last week when Marty was here, and he said he would have to go back because it wasn't done. Specifically, it was just in the range before. He said, we will have to go back and contact the people to get it.
So can we get an update from Marty on that, please, Bill?
Yes, sir.
Perfect.
Okay. So next week. Okay.
All right. What else you got?
And I have one more thing to add while you're talking about the fee waivers.
No, do
I believe we still have a fee waiver in place for those businesses moving into another facility.
Yeah.
Tenant improvements.
Yeah, they qualify.
So that's still there too.
Absolutely.
Okay. So Marty, new app update and forms and catch up to go back and get that information. Okay. The PIFs are very rigid right now. And we need to update our policy so that we can make them flexible. So you can develop and design parks, build parks.
The acquisition versus development. We have
Chris was going to have that done by the end of the day.
But the park
end of day today. Remember the park impact fees? We had a bunch set aside in acquisition, but in development we didn't have it. So we were looking for the flexibility. Within that.
Okay.
Chris Cook, I worked with her last week, right, Commissioner Manor? Did Chris Cook get a hold of you? Mm-hmm.
By end of day today is what Bill just said, is that when she was down that time.
All right. The micro businesses, remember the we brought one case that was kind of the example case, the expressal, was it Jane? And we said, help this lady out. She's really going through a terrible experience with the county. What's the status of that?
Policy recommendation.
Next week.
She's coming back to 28.
Well, we have a meeting on it tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Yeah. Susan Ellinger is going to lead it.
Axel and somebody else was in charge of
it. Yeah, they're going to meet it tomorrow.
There is also, I hadn't known about it until I made the local paper here, the Hazeldale parking policy looks like it's anti-business we are not Portland TriMet that says, no, you cannot have parking. Instead, we encourage parking.
Oh, you're talking about the Highway 99 sub-area plan.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So,
today, we're having a Highway 99 improvement work session soon as you approve it.
That would be great.
Good. Can you provide as early as possible so I can do my homework ahead of time?
Would you
whatever document.
Tell me yes or no? I can have the work session today then. It's on your list.
We'll get there. But as far as, and yes, we need to talk about
that.
Highway 99 sub-area plan. There is plenty of homework that you can do on that honestly, you know, you shouldn't believe everything they say in the newspaper. I'm just saying.
Really?
There is no prohibition on parking. We are not instituting Portland-like policies. It is simply, you know, it is a sub-area plan that looks at the form over the function to say, how can we make sure that it's compatible with and provides, you know, and lowers the impacts to neighbors in these corridors and sets nodes. And there is a lot to it that the community was involved in for several years. The community came up with this. And it says, all right, you can have 50% of your lot can be parking in a specific area. It's more or less in different nodes. So anyway, it's not as simplistic as this. And it is definitely, it was an individual's perspective on, well, that's why I'm not able to sell it. It's like, no, they've been, you know, shopping it and blaming various parties and reasons. They blamed Texaco across the street last year when they couldn't sell it.
Oh, there's three cricks in my fruit group.
They blamed you. Yeah, that. Well, they blamed the Texaco across the street. Island. Yeah, fair enough. So ultimately, there's just a lot there. So I think a work session on it would be great, but there's just a lot to it.
And you know, we have on the work agenda somewhere along the way to restripe. And something that didn't come up in the drawings that were given to us was on-street parking.
On Highway 99?
Yeah. The lanes there are like 14 foot wide.
Yes.
And I think the turn lane is 16 foot wide. And we were talking about restriping it to allow parking, bicycle, two lanes in each direction and a left turn lane. And I think the parking fell away.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we never actually formalized the proposal for it.
The conversation was more at the north end of the gateway back when the newspaper asked me
and
what I was doing. I said I was shopping for cars from my car.
Right, I remember. I remember.
Okay.
I remember.
You remember that?
They didn't get it right then either.
But yeah, it's you got a couple of quotes taken out of context from people, and then, you know, they made a story out of it. So, congratulations.
Well, what I did is I asked Bill for the documents that would help get me up to speed so I know what the code is,
good.
What the standard is.
Excellent.
I think I have a file
ahead of the world
and
work
and as far as stringent regulations, it's actually some of the least stringent regulations in all of the county because it is not the stringent use lists, and there are not as many requirements on them in some areas. There are requirements on form over the what's inside the block. I mean, you know, there's less worry about like what type of use, and we're going to make you do a traffic study if you have a dentist versus this, and it's more about, all right, let's just make sure that the form and function works together.
I have a problem with we got impact credits if you put a bicycle rack out in front. And you got two credits if you put a resting bench.
We're going to get to that. We're going to fix it.
No, we're not. I don't want to go there.
Okay, good. All right. Anything else? The only thing I had, and just on the fixing thing, we had a great meeting on concurrency. We have a clear kind of a two or three step proposal to bring to the work session next week. It wasn't a work session. It was me and Axel and Steve Schulte and Mike Mabry and Chris Horn. Because the commitment that we had made was we'll come back with a clear proposal that will help make concurrency work for us, and that it will provide, it will keep people moving and safe, but it will lower the overall cost of the system. And I think we found a way to do it. So, and the 2 hour to, peak, sure that's one. Yeah, that'll be in the work session next week. I think we've come a long way.
Thank you for that. On any of these things, anytime we have work sessions, I whatever is going to be presented at the work session, I love to get it ahead of time because it helps my brain to get in gear so that I can participate in a more meaningful way.
Totally agree. Well, we totally agree, and they're trying. They're trying to get more, and not just on this one, but on others. They're trying to get us the materials ahead of time more often.
So I'm meeting with Steve on Friday, Schulte, to make sure that he's got that we agree on what came out of there.
Oh, I think it was solid.
I think it was solid, but he needs to get it into a presentation, and that's what he wants me to look at. So if we get that, I'll forward it to you guys.
Yep.
No, Steve, it was solid.
Yeah, he is good. All right.
I'm talking with Steve Stewart.
He's very kind. All right. I got nothing else. I got a whole bunch of stuff to write and to help people with. So now, staff. Woohoo! Staff reports, work session prioritization.
Okay, I gave you 3 requests last week.
Yes, sir.
Annual reviews and dockets. Can we have a work session on that?
Annual reviews and dockets. It's an annual. We do it every year, and it's kind of it's a necessary component.
Can I send you further information on your website?
Good. Thank you.
And some of it is Scribner's errors that they're fixing because someone found it. Some of it are really minor changes that, again, somebody found through going through an application or reviewing an application and like, well, this doesn't make any sense.
3 comprehensive plan zone change amendments, 2 requests to remove urban holding, 5 arterial or address amendments, and an amendment to the capital facilities plan to include the fairgrounds master plan.
And those are the major amendments.
Yep. That's what's being proposed.
The rest of it is Scribner's.
I gave you details on each of those.
Perfect.
And we're moving it up, right?
Yeah, because that includes the... Smith Root, thank you.
Monthly property tax payments?
Wait. Good. All right. Next one?
Property tax payment. Property tax, you wanted monthly property tax payments?
Is this the one that...
This would allow for monthly tax
payments? This is Treasurer making a presentation of how we can implement that.
Anything to
15
do with
minutes.
Yeah, because I wanted to find out what we're going to do about delinquent tax.
That's not, also included.
Not so much just a monthly. Yeah.
Okay.
You good with the work session on that, gentlemen?
That could be interesting.
Yeah, that's why I said 15 minutes.
Okay.
Set up for that.
Okay, yes. And Highway 99 projects, which is the railroad crossing at 78th Street and 99th to 117th, the interim pedestrian path. Those are the 2 issues.
I think we need...
And we'll add parking.
Well, we need to include the, so the development requirements, the development standards associated with the Highway 99 subarea and how they affect not only those, but development proposals along the corridor. Certainly don't want to spend the entire work session on a primer on the sub-area plan because I know that Commissioner Mador will have done a lot of the background work ahead of time. So, but we do need to have that discussion.
Okay.
And for some context, this has been rescheduled twice, and it was an original request that they could send us regarding the lack of sidewalks.
I remember.
Okay,
and we definitely don't want to...
North and south end.
Yeah, well, and hers is specifically near Klein Line, going down the hill to Klein Line. There's nothing as far as sidewalks, and so it's pretty dangerous. Coming from the mobile home parks and otherwise.
Put a sidewalk out there in the Klein Line, we get sued.
Nah, either way, we're in trouble. You know that. All right. Anything else on work session prioritization?
Ones to drop off for you for next week.
Oh, okay. And so this is a new one that we'll talk about next week, I think.
Let me see. Highway 99 concept plan.
That's what you approved.
Yeah. To have a work session.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is anytime we have a work session, we ought to make sure that we identify as possible what are the questions and what are the possible topics or actions that we could potentially decide on.
No action. Direction. We can't take action at a work session.
You give direction to the staff.
Direction.
And if most of that's in these documents.
Well, actually, I just looked for
information
to us only.
But are there proposed outcomes that either staff is seeking or that we, what are the outcomes sought?
What's the point other than just tell us information?
Exactly. because every time I start a work session, almost every time, I try to ask the question, all right, so what do you need? You know, what do you need? And so it's...
Why are we here?
Exactly. So...
What's
so
the fruit of this?
So that's the different way of... So that would be good information to make sure that we are kind of putting...
Kind of a template on everything.
Like, yeah. Guidance.
What do you want?
Does that make sense, Bill?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Because guidance,
cool.
Direction.
Thank you. All right. So you have like two things on work session prioritization. These are the new ones. Or are you just going
to? These are the ones I'm dropping off to you to see if you'll allow for a work session next week.
But those are for us. That's homework for us for next week.
That's right. Arts Commission update for the past year's work.
Dude, I haven't had this much homework since like law school, man. This is like, I don't know. Homework.
Lambs for Jobs coordination work session. Commissioner Medora requested it. That's what this is about.
Is that going to...
Yeah. All right. We'll talk about next week.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So put these in your old packet for next week.
And
a little homework.
Well, wait a minute. The listing of a work session is not enough for us to decide whether or not it's appropriate.
We need information.
Yeah.
Why are you looking at me like that? That's what we asked for. Like, why do the workshop? What is it all about?
They want to update you on their progress they've been making as an arts commission. That's what they're going to do.
Update
on their work of the past year. So it's just a short
presentation.
So you're not asking, do we want a work session?
Yes, I am.
Oh.
Will you allow a work session? That's only for you to look at and say, no, I don't want to work session.
And if you need additional information between now and next week when we meet about what would we need to... Why would we have a whole work session on this? Then we have the freedom to ask about that, and so that when we come back, if you didn't have enough information to decide should we have a work session, that we can get it.
Well, you can go tell us what they're doing and probably talk about the stuff that's in front of that hallway.
Mm-hmm. So it's just information to us.
That
only?
One's just going
to
be information. Yeah, it's an annual report.
Do you need a half hour? Can you maybe have 20 minutes?
No, hopefully they'll be done in 15.
Yeah, the shortest work sessions we usually set are half hour, but man, but I will absolutely do my best to make it shorter. But usually the minimum we set is half an hour just to...
It's nice to be in the queue.
Yeah.
And then
the next request is you wanted to follow up from the fire marshal on the life safety and fire inspection program. He's done what you asked him to do. And your request will be to
really
approve or not to approve his system.
I had the opportunity to work with the fire marshal and Jim here on another home.
The results of that are in there.
This is an expansion of a large home, and the question came up with a mandate of retrofit for sprinkler systems. I said, whoa, wait a minute. First of all, there's no state mandate, and we need to develop 3,500 square foot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing mentioned about a retrofit, and the problem is that it's a two-story home.
Gotcha.
Okay. How do you retrofit it? Affordable two-story home.
Don't affordably.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're working on it. So
cool.
That'd be interesting.
We're going a little fast here.
Well, no, but we're not being asked to make a decision this week. Remember, we're getting the information. We have this week to do our homework. Then next week, we'll take the time after we've done our homework to talk it through. But instead of thinking it through and talking it all through right now, we need to get to staff and we need to get going. So this is the process we've chosen to do that instead of trying to do our studying right now.
Okay, let me finish. There's no homework here. Where's the homework?
Your preparation for
on what?
On the Lands for Jobs.
Well, so this
you
is why they want the work session.
Of what the program is what you asked for. And that's going to be presented to you at the work session.
And so
for you to understand it.
All this information is to do is to say, this is why we need a work session. And in this case, it sounds like because you asked for one.
And that's right. It's associated with buildable lands.
Right. But if there is more information that you or we need, then we have this next week to get that as to why we would do a work session on that or whether it's just something we can get through one-on-one conversations.
Oh, well, okay. So in other words, they don't have anything to give us ahead of time.
Before the work session, they would, but first we have to tell them, yes, we are going to have a work session.
I guess the opportunity would be, do you know what this is? If you're the only one who needs this, then I'll just have them brief you.
No, it came up at one of the other things, and they were talking about Land for Jobs is the winner. Land for Jobs, CRDC has been working on that. Let's have them come back and share what they have for the Land for Jobs and see how that works with our staff with the buildable land.
Okay.
Certainly there's a vacuum of information when it comes to the Lands for Jobs. We need to be able to see that.
There's a report because it's big.
Lisa's not here, so I don't know who's going to do
report,
it. So.
But we don't know who's going to do it and all that. But we let's get all that information to decide whether we're going to have a work session. And then we can decide whether it's valuable to have a work session. And then before the work session, well before it, we'll make sure we get plenty of information to be able to prepare ourselves appropriately if we decide it's going to have a work session. Multiple steps.
Let me refine here what the suggestions are in the process as for work session. One,
please quickly,
is to provide the information to us so that we understand, and that provides basically a one-way conversation from them to us. Two, the second reason to have that's not happening here. Okay, so
we're going to have it.
Yeah. Then the work session is the two-way conversation. We first have to decide, do we as a board want to have a two-way conversation in a work session with them about this? That's what we will decide next week after we've done kind of figure out, do we really want a work session on this?
Can I finish?
You had finished, and then he spoke, and then I spoke. So you did finish, just to be clear.
No, I think what he was using in the middle. So today we decide, yes, we're going to have it. Bill's going to come back next week to say, I have it scheduled, and then you want some information before we have it. Am I with you?
The idea behind this is that this maximizes our time management.
Yes.
So the first start, the starting point would be for whoever would present to us something in a work session, they would give to us ahead of time what they would present.
Why would you have the work session then?
Well, let me finish. And that provides a one-way conversation from them to us. It doesn't provide the opportunity for us to have a two-way conversation, to ask questions, to gain more input. At that point, we can, because we have what they would present, we have understanding for us to be able to say, well, I really want to have a two-way conversation on this. Let's have a work session, because that's the platform that provides that opportunity. Or we could say, one of us may say, well, I am very interested, the other two are not, and so therefore I can just do my homework and save you guys some time. The third reason that we could have or the third kind of a category is like in the arts. We got these people that passionately care about this, and if we don't pay attention, they feel like we don't care. Okay? And so this is not fulfilling any of those on the lands for jobs. And so what I'm suggesting here, Bill, is that when we, in order to fulfill that purpose of one-way conversation, digestion, decision whether or not we need a two-way conversation, we need what they're going to present.
Right. So right. Now, wait.
You finished the sentence,
and I'm going to speak now. Speaking, what I'm going to say is I agree with you that we need full information before a two-way conversation to have a good two-way conversation. But what I'm not willing to do is for all of the people internally, our staff, external partners, is put them through the time sink of putting together an entire proposal, an entire work session, before they even know whether we're going to do a work session. That they would say, first of all, we would like to schedule a work session with the commissioners. This is what we would like to present. The general idea of what they would like to present, what they would like to get out of it. We then decide whether, yeah, that makes sense or to have a work session or not. Then after they know we're going to have a work session, then they go through the effort and the time necessary to prepare materials ahead of time for us to get and review and then have a two-way conversation. But to ask all of them to give you full presentations before you even tell them that we're going to have a presentation is a lot of their time for something that may never even happen. So I am very uncomfortable with putting our staff and other partners through that exercise before they even know we're going to have a work session. Because if we're not going to have a work session, they can just talk with us one-on-one.
My point was, the last time the CREDC presented something to us, it was more of an advertisement for the CREDC. We walked away with very little usefulness out of that. I walked away feeling like I could have spent my time much more productively than that. I don't want to have a repeat of that. What I like people to do, if they care about this project, they're going to present something, they're going to communicate that something that's worthwhile to us. When they do that, then we can say to them, you know, this, if you can, we're interested in this part of it, just please zero in on this so that we can understand and get the most value out of this time spent. That's where I'm going with this thing. I don't want another advertisement for the CREDC.
And I don't think anyone's saying that that's what we want. I think it's simply saying that you're taking it to a different level where you're saying, hey, you give me your full presentation, then I'll tell you whether or not I'll give you a work session.
We requested this.
Yeah.
We requested this in some of the dialogue that we were having. We said, we know, and it was about buildable lands, and so it's also in conjunction with land for jobs.
Right.
So we need the information.
So we're asking for this. We're asking right now, are we going to have a meeting with him?
Right.
And so we'll say yes. He's going to go back and say, yeah, the commissioner's going to meet with you. I guess at that time, they can give you some material and you can reference and study ahead of time. Then when we go to the work session, you'll be in the know and we'll have some questions on what they're presenting.
That's respectful of our partners and our staff, because a lot of our presentations come from staff. It's respectful of their time and input and the value of their time. But it also is respectful of our need and our desire to have a two-way conversation. It gets to where you want to go. It just, you know, it does it in a respectful manner.
Well, maybe we break it down into two steps. The first one doesn't require them to do...
But see, what I'm saying is that in general, you might want one thing, I might want another, you might want something.
Yep.
Somewhere in their presentation, hopefully they're going to satisfy all three. But for us to preview their stuff and say, well, I want this, I want that, maybe I want it and you don't. So therefore, we need to see the whole presentation.
Well, what I'm suggesting is that we break it down into two steps. The first step is maybe it's not a presentation. It's a report. It's something that's simple that communicates the meat of what they want to convey, that allows us enough insight for us to be able to determine whether or not it's appropriate use for them to put together a presentation and for us to be able to spend a time. Because any of these work sessions we sit in on, it's not only our time that we're consuming. There is a room filled with a lot of people.
And I'm cognizant of that right now. So I'm really hoping that we can continue forward here. I know we need to reach closure on this, and I want us to reach closure on this, please.
If you will be patient. Now,
I have been enormously patient. I'm seeking closure. I'm not pushing it. I'm not saying that I have the answer. I'm saying, could we please seek closure on this so we can move to our staff who needs to present information to us as well, please.
That way that's going to happen is if we have a two-way conversation and I get a turn to speak.
You've gotten so much time to speak, sir. So please, let's get to it.
As the chairman, if you want to continue as the chairman, your job is to facilitate the conversation.
If I want to continue as the chair, you're going to go there. I love the look in your eyes, too, while you're saying it. Some anger in there. I don't know why. I said, please, I'm doing everything I can.
We need to get to the question before us.
I would love
to. Do you want a presentation, yes or no?
I think having a little meat on the bones in that initial step is a great thing. And getting a little bit more meat on the bones would be very helpful.
So my proposal is that we would, let's say, take this particular example, ask them to put together a report. Doesn't require a whole lot of investment in putting together a full presentation, but it provides for us the meat of what they would, that we would zero in on.
I think we covered that. And that was, if we decide we're going to have a work session, they'll prepare a work session and give us the information before the work session.
Yeah, information before that, which sounds great. Okay, all right.
Because that way we all have the same thing, and we may agree or not agree with everything they give us, but at least we all have the same information.
Which sounds good. So the closure on this is for us to be able to find the optimal decision-making process for us, rather than have a simple sentence that says, do you want a work session on this? It would come with
a little more meat.
Enough for us to decide intelligently whether or not it's appropriate.
Sounds good.
Not only for our time, but for all the staff that would be sitting in on that work session.
That's all I'm trying to get to. And that's what we were suggesting. Okay. Are we there?
All right, yes. We're on the same page.
Excellent.
Okay, go. You want to translate and tell me what you just said then?
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to have... We want to work clear.
The next item, Bill, hold on.
So put a little more meat on the bones in that initial step to be able to help us to have more information about why we would be doing a work session. In this initial kind of, instead of just a sentence or two, you know, have something more.
Okay.
And then in this, once we have decided that we would have a work session, then we would be getting full materials, presentation materials ahead of time so that we have a good chance for a two-way conversation.
And one more little direction for the C or EDC is to ask them, please don't give us an advertisement for the C or EDC, but help us to know how we can use your information in order to move forward so that we get the most fruit from the information.
All right.
Man for jobs.
Next item is proposed changes to the kennels ordinance. That's the text.
All right, so this is meat. We will devour this meat over the next week, and we will get back to you. This is another request for a work session.
The Affordable Care Act, you asked for, how is it going to impact the county? It's a multiple departmental presentation.
Sure.
I hope this is enough meat.
I just saw a presentation. Somebody advertising for a presentation was a WASAC or somebody, and they have five speakers.
It is incredibly complex, no question. And it seems to be a moving target, unfortunately. All right, any other prioritization?
Economic Development Action Team to be formed. We formed it. We'd like to report to you on where we are. Very important that you hear that information.
And next week, maybe Commissioner Medora, just to see if we're getting, what additional meat might we need on the bone of these to make sure that we have enough. And so as you take a look at those, if there is more that can be provided without doing full presentations, maybe that would help for staff to be clear on it.
Well, actually, probably what would be helpful for me, rather than task somebody to put something that's kind of more formalized, on each of these, what I'll do is I'll sit down with Bill and go over each of them and try to drill down to see what would be the meat of this
on an individual basis. Perfect. I'm sorry, that's exactly what I was asking, but good. Perfect. That's literally, I was asking that you helped us to know what could be more helpful.
And finally, we have to upgrade the emergency management plan. This is that they want to provide you a work session to start that, and this is the entire presentation.
Excellent. All right. Anything else?
That's all.
That's it? Really? That's all we have? All right. Good. All right. So anything else from you, Bill?
I just have two vacancy reviews that they want expedited process, but I know you're pressed for time, so why don't I just give them to you for next week?
Okay.
How's that?
That sounds great. Thank you.
That's all I have, Bill.
Did you say they asked for expedited process?
Yes.
That usually takes a week anyway.
General Services Facilities.
All right. We will take a look at those. I will take a look at this one.
I got one, Bill.
Yeah, we got one. Here's a front. No, it's not front and back.
I'm coming.
Oh, okay.
So, Facilities Maintenance Helper. And...
Well, Bill, why didn't you press both sides of the paper?
Because I knew Commissioner Stewart would jump all over me.
Probably. All right.
And that's in their budget already?
All right. This is all budget, yes, sir?
Okay.
So can I switch with you? You have a red one. I need the red one.
Perfect. Holly Gilbert, do you have anything?
I do not.
Excellent.
Okay. If you did, you forgot.
Yeah, exactly.
I
got two things. One is the EPA, as you know, is studying their preferred alternative, and they're doing the draft plans. We've gotten a couple of requests. The most recent one that I've got is from our railroad, Jeff Swanson. What they're asking for is permission to enter 2-year agreements with the option for a third. They'll pay you $1,000. I guess to keep it quick and whittle it down, is the board interested in being involved in those decisions in terms of us signing county property over for permission to enter for the purpose to study the alternative, or do you want to handle that, just let the department heads manage that and sign off on those or not? Do you want to leverage that somehow with a letter?
So they're asking for access as part of the review. They're asking for access to go look at the land and check it out and kind of do their analysis of the environmental hazards or whatever else is what I'm saying.
Sorry, the things I just handed out are on
that's quiet zone.
So, yes, you're correct.
BPA,
for their transmission power line, they want to have access to some of our parcels. The one I'm looking at today is on the railroad property.
Solely for study?
Solely for study. It doesn't sign away an easement or any rights. It's just to enter for up to 3 years to study the impacts related to
those parcels.
We make them liable for any damages to the property?
I'd have to read through the specifics.
Good point.
I don't have a problem with them being there. I don't want them to come in and tear up some property and expose the bare ground. There has to be some liability.
You look with your eyes, not your hands. So.
Yes. Look with your eyes and not your hands. Don't bring in a big cat and turn around
so
circles.
Lair kind of worked on the agreement and looked at it, so you just want me to make sure he's okay with
the protected.
Damages part or whatever.
Is it for observation or for action?
It's for study.
I mean,
my opinion about it is that they are, what they are doing is taking a closer look, because that was what people asked them to do on the routes. So, like, for instance, to do proper wetlands delineations, you need to go out and look at them. So they're doing that. The problem I have with it is they're only doing it for the preferred alternative. So they're saying, oh, well, we're studying all these routes, but they're only asking for these rights to enter property on the preferred alternative. So to me, it's a tad bit disingenuous to say you're studying all the alternatives when you're only really taking a hard look at the properties on the preferred alternative. But the other side of the coin is if they're going to come up with a preferred alternative, they do have to get their boots on the ground, go out and look at the actual parcels to see what the impacts are going to be.
Yeah.
So we're not signing away any rights.
Go ahead, dude.
Yeah, go ahead.
3 years. They need 3 years? Is that seems kind of long.
I think it does, but I think what they're trying to do there is protect themselves from having to come back. If it's hard to anticipate a lawsuit or something that kind of
can this be
pushes
when they're done? Can we say, okay, you're done, and we can sign that off?
They would
terminate it early.
If they came, let's say for all these properties, if they come through and decide that's the alternative they're going with, they have the final thing done, and they need an easement on your property, they have to then come and renegotiate with you for that easement. This is only permission to enter the property.
But if they get done with the study portion of it, say early, and they say, yeah, we're done with this portion, can that right be terminated early?
I don't know.
So in the contract, be notification of
early termination.
Right, termination.
Of either party, we can give notice, a reasonable amount of notice.
Good idea.
That way we know what's going on all the time.
After
cool.
A year for cause or something like that.
Shorten the time.
All right. Anything else? Quiet zone.
Yep.
Yes, you do have one up there. Quiet zone.
Yeah. So the picture I just handed out shows the problem. I'm sad to report a problem.
Well, there's a train in the way. That's your problem. Yeah.
Well, and it's probably got a horn blowing. So the bottom line here is, to keep it again short, we have been going with what is the supplemental safety measure to get our quiet zone, supplemental safety measure 13, which the FRA allows, which is the 100-foot curb medians. I went out into the field with Tom Grange and Ejaz and our construction manager on the project, Scott Wilson. And we've been putting a lot of attention, as you know, into the marina side, surveying, making sure that we've got the right amount of property rights and room there for the 100 feet. Well, when we got to painting and measuring and looking at this, what is the eastern side, Scott, especially as the construction manager, started to raise a lot of issues with the side slopes. And it started to make me feel really uncomfortable. What we need there for boats, we've got trucks and boats passing each other.
Yeah.
What we need there ideally is at least 11-foot lanes for a total of 22 feet. And he basically, the conclusion we all came to is we're really trying to jam a round peg through a square hole here. We don't have enough room without getting into these side slopes. So the bottom line is, with the amount of water coming down off of these hills, the geology just doesn't work to get the excavators in there, start digging those hillsides out and getting these 22-foot wide lanes. And the conclusion, I said, well, we're not doing it then. If it's not safe, we're not doing it. So I don't know where we go from here. If it's going to make the people up there upset, I understand that. I've already talked to them. They are upset. They want this thing done like yesterday. But what I did this last week is I spent a lot of time talking to some of the sole source providers for the wayside horns. But that raises the price up between $70,000 and $120,000. And if we start excavating and putting some barriers up and doing drainage to keep the hillside up there for the 100 feet, we're up into the 200,000, 225,000 range. So the project is, with the geology there, it's gone beyond what it was at 25,000. So anyways, that's where it is. I don't have a quick and easy answer for you, but I needed to let you know, because we're probably going to get some people upset about it. They want it done we've taken it as far as we can with the medians, but the median's not going to work on that hill.
So the question is, how wide are we now?
Man, I think we measured it. I'd take a guess and say we're probably 16, maybe. We sat here and watched a lot of boats and trailers come down, and they're taking up a good chunk of that road. You know,
poor drivers.
They can pass each other, but when they pass each other, the wheels are touching pretty much both sides of the pavement. So if you envision, you've got to take about a 2-foot chunk out of the middle of that for the median. You got to widen it on either side. So and there's a lot of water. It just doesn't really do it justice for how steep it is.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of water coming down out of there.
So what about, instead of putting curbing, do a little bit lower classification or higher class, or higher numbers, and go with the rubber cones?
Well, the rule does allow for what's called mountable, or the rubber medians, but I think it's going to require us to put in the same width of lanes. It's really the lane width that we're struggling with, is how do you put sort of an object in the middle of this road and still allow for... And another issue we have is, you see that gate down there at the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of leans right out into the lane, and when mm-hmm. that arm comes up, it doesn't come straight up. It kind of hangs out a little bit. So that's one issue we have, is you kind of come down to this real bottleneck at the track, where, you know, you got a big boat on the back, you're potentially, if you're coming too close to that crossing bar, you're going to hit it. So it's just a width.
Can we do the construction on the south side then, and leave the north side alone?
The answer is technically yes. The rule does allow for you to do enough improvements that you prove and show that you get below the risk index number. And so you could just do one side, or you could do a variation thereof. But then that requires us, if that's called an adjusted supplemental safety measure, the FRA has to approve it. So we send our package in and they approve it. Now, if you do a wayside horn, that's a one-for-one exchange. You don't have to do anything. You just put them in and you're done. So
this is, everything is doable. It's a question of whether or not it's worth the money, right?
That's right.
So is the assumption here is that the county would just simply pay for this out of the road fund directly?
The assumption so far was, with these curves and medians, we could keep the price down somewhere around the $25,000 range, to where it made sense just for us to go ahead and do it. And there was a benefit, obviously, to people who live in the surrounding area, because we were doing that at no cost to them. But the cost to go out and do a road improvement district to assess all their properties and do all the walking and knocking and mailing that's associated with that, it wouldn't have made sense. Now, we could do that. I mean, if we wanted to put 4 quadrant gates down here, or wayside horns, you know, if we're getting up into the $100,000 plus level, then it probably makes sense to be doing an assessment or talking about an RID, but that's a lot of work.
Or you can allow them the opportunity, if they have a few passionate people out there that are willing to work and work, pull together their neighbors, allow them the opportunity to say, yeah, we can do it, but you're going to have to work on this to be able to pull your community together to provide to come up with at least a match.
Yeah. I mean, we'd always be willing to take a check.
Do you know the neighbors? Do you know those?
I know a few of them pretty well. Yeah, and I know, you know, there's different stakeholders. There's people who sell real estate in their area. There's people who live. There's a guy that lives right above this. There's, you know, so there's quite a few people that live
right above
me.
He should be good for someone.
Well, he's a nice guy, and he's tired, but you know, he lives right next to it.
So the thing is, if it's a voluntary basis, then some people are going to pay and some people are not. And that's the disadvantage you get if it's a neighborhood-driven thing, because they don't have the force of law to force the ones that don't want to.
And we've done road improvement districts before, and I'll tell you what, right up the hill from here, this place is growing like mad. I mean, they're all new places, and they're beautiful.
And they don't know where the trains are.
They're building right now.
Well, you could do two ways. One, you could encourage them, if they wanted to do a road improvement district, that they could do the homework to say, yes, we want it, we got this many signatures, and so it's promising, versus the county started from scratch to do that.
Good?
Yeah. I think what I'm going to do is talk to the stakeholders that are the most vocal and passionate. They're upset, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, well, I won't give up on the project if you guys won't, but we probably need to have a meeting out there somewhere and get the neighbors in, and I need to talk about them with where we're at and the costs and the estimates that I'm seeing, and see if there's actual neighborhood commitment and interest in being involved. Because we've gotten to a cost level where I don't think, as the county, we can just do it.
Yeah, there's no grants that we could apply for or anything like this?
Potentially, but...
So the idea is to go forward with Plan A,
which is
to widen the road and not have a horn there. That's the idea. I mean, whether you have the horn stationary or whether you have the train coming down the track with the horn, for me it'd be the same if I lived there.
Right, but the problem is because they're going to have to do excavation alongside, the question of cost, I mean, I think the plan would be to say, look, we have a plan, but it's going to involve more cost than we had thought, and bring that to the neighbors and see if there's interest in them becoming involved, invested in
and
this as well.
The idea behind the wayside horns is that they are not nearly as loud. I talked to the guy this week, and he said, the first thing you'd want to do is have us come out and do a demonstration, because the last thing you want to do is pay us the money, we put it up, and people are still upset.
So is that okay to send...
How much is that?
Those are between, he said, look, it depends on the railroad and the actual crossing, but between 70 and 120, somewhere in there to put the wayside horn up.
Wish I had one of those on my truck.
So is your suggestion then to stay with the plan that we had drafted, but look for, and you know, go tell the neighbors where we're at and see if they want to get invested, or what's your suggestion?
Yeah, my suggestion is that I work with the stakeholders and neighbors. I don't feel like the engineer group that I'm working with or Scott, the construction manager, is comfortable touching the hillsides with an excavator, so I don't think there's any way we're getting the 22-foot lanes on that side. I don't think the curb is an option.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'd be helping dig it right now. But so I think we need to talk to the neighbors about how much they want this to be a quiet zone, and if we can set up an RID. I mean, I think that's where we are.
Or RID, again, is force of law, though, and so, you know, talking with them about voluntary, how they might become invested, I like that, you know, see where their level of investment would be voluntarily.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that good?
It's just a one-time expense. There's no, after the construction work is done, there's no ongoing, right?
Wayside horns, we would maintain at the county. But
okay.
Is there much maintenance required or something like that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You got to keep the birds fed.
Keep the birds fed on it? Yeah.
Fun okay.
Anything else, Axel?
Don't bring up the migratory.
No.
Oh, geez, seriously. Nothing. Kelly.
So what's being distributed is a report on the invocations today. This is in response to a public records request that came in from Ralph Schmidt. If that name rings a bell. You've had him as a speaker at your board meetings. I just wanted to make sure you had a copy before it went out under the public records request so you could see the information. So there's no real policy decision, just information for you.
What is, and forgive me for not knowing, I didn't ask Mr. Morris that, Baha'i, what is that religious? I mean, it was obviously a single deity. But I don't know them. I don't know what their belief system is.
I can't tell you what it is, but we were just
Holly knows.
That
Hold
earlier
on. Holly knows the answer.
Yeah.
Started in Iran in 1844, and it takes a bit of Christianity, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, Judaism, beliefs that all the people on the earth really should be of one people, that people are people, and should be one global community, and it's very international service-based organization.
Gotcha. Interesting.
Major headquarters in Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I'm curious.
Another non-denominational.
There's probably one other thing you ought to put in here. We've had one or two or more, I don't remember how many, moments of silence that we had to put dates in there as well.
Yeah,
so that,
yeah, good call.
So no date should be mixed.
But just
mixed.
And then you can put that as a percentage.
Did you get
a reading?
Did you get a sound reading to how silent they were?
I'm cracking the whip on that, dude. Yeah, exactly.
So we can give silence.
No, it's a good call.
To oppose.
Yeah, exactly. No, and it's a good thing for those who have said, hey, maybe you can do a moment of silence, just to let them know we have done that sometimes. All right, anything else, Kelly? All right, and Hidla's just here to listen, so thank you for being here. Good seeing you, Pauline. We will be...
Can I say something? Want to go short?
I need to get to writing things, but if you... Perfect. We have a deadline tomorrow, and I'm feeling that we got to get to it, unfortunately. So. Mm-hmm.
This more homework. This may answer what you want. This is what is called a tension. Used way before public works.
No.
In this case,
no.
Services
you what?
We might.
Okay.
We might want to go back to this. Okay. Don't look at the don't look at the words. Look at what is being asked for.
Okay.
So who's the requesting department? Mm-hmm. The topic. The staff that would be involved. The date desired. The length of time, mm-hmm. etc.
And I say this is good. This is the staff that would be involved in the preparation.
Correct.
It'd be good to have another one.
And presentation.
That would be the staff that would be involved that would be expected to be to attend.
But that's what this is. Who and the staff are going to attend the work session?
It would
be Benton, Waringa, Earl, blah blah blah.
Okay, so that's attending.
Yeah. And then the length of the thing, time considerations. So is there a time frame, is there a requirement that you see this before the Planning Commission, whatever? And then they would talk about the desired result.
That's
what do you want from the work session? The impacts on the community and financing staff and others. Well, it's going to take me $100,000 to put this together, whatever it is. Policy considerations that will be part of this that you need to know about. The issues or trade-offs to be considered, i.e. conflicts, these kind of things. And then the recommended action.
That's really good, Bill.
Is that what you want?
Yeah.
Well, why don't I bring this back then next week and say, I'll bring a blank one back, mm-hmm. and say, look, we used to do this before I came here.
Yeah.
Two departments are still using it, Public Works mainly, DES sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Commissioner Madore really wants to see. And that I would submit this filled out by the department instead of this. Standard form, same information, et cetera.
And if they have content, there would be another area.
No. This is just a request to be able to have an audience with you to explain themselves, to give you the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
The work session is supposed to be like, if you're going to take a course. If you're going to take a course in Clean Water Commission report, mm-hmm. you have created a commission that is required by your mandate to them to report once a year.
Mm-hmm.
So. They're mandated. They're coming back to you to report on what they did. Why would you want that information before they're even going to meet with you to report it?
Okay, we probably should identify that this is a mandated annual thing versus this is an optional.
That would be policy implication. This is a mandated.
Okay.
This is a mandated request.
Okay, so that's what you covered that.
Yes,
I didn't realize that.
Right.
Was that.
So, I'm just trying to. I know you need maximum information. We all do. I mean, God, we're not going to make a policy unless we have information. Why would you ask me to make a policy? Said the commissioner. And that's the point of the work session. And that's the purpose of a work session is to array the board with information regarding a specific topic that they need guidance on. They need a decision, not a say, we approve you, go ahead with this. I want you to do this with this. That's really good, but I want you to do that with that. And then... come, whatever their request is, come and then bring it to a hearing. Or no. Come back in a second work session 90 days hence with the revised information that I've given you. That's what the purpose of a work session is.
Okay.
Sometimes that stemmed from here. Now, obviously, and the reason I brought this topic to you in the first place was to say, and probably we're getting too many requests for work sessions because we're backed up all the way to November. Okay. But the reason for that was not necessarily the volume, because I went back and looked. The volume of work session requests is about the same. What's changed is we can't do them until 10 o'clock on nights before that you're busy, which is understandable, and that there's a half hour in between. And if you remember, I only requested, we could probably shrink this down to October if we only had 15 minutes in between, but the board's wishes are the board's wishes. So that's why we're doing this.
Sure.
This might be exactly what you want. In terms of providing you a broader perspective of why do you want a work session?
Good, Bill.
And these, I think, look this over for me and see if any more questions that we can put in here, because we can make this form any way you want to.
Great.
And just disregard the text. Just look at the things that, okay.
Can you email it as well?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Why don't I get one
that's blank, and I'll scan it out, and then you'll have the form. And you say, okay, and then you can look at the blank thing. And yeah, the policy implications, I like that. Or, no, I don't want that.
Is
want
this a Yes, yeah, this is a Word doc where you can actually edit.
Well, this one I just had her copy up.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, but I can scan it in.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oops.
Yeah, me too.